Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting is required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 4, 2016, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Lapode?
Here.
Ms. Malkin?
Here.
Mr. Tipton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Allenbuck?
Here. I'm going to do something slightly unusual. I'm going to split my mayor's report, start with a very short paragraph, and then I'll come back in after the committee reports. For those of you who don't know, Jack Uden died on Friday at 102. Jack was a longtime borough resident. He was also a firefighter, and he was a borough employee. So we are thankful for his service. We're sorry that he's gone. That will also explain why there is bunting on the firehouse and why our flag is at half-mast. We spoke to the fire department. They weren't able to attend the ceremony, but they were kind enough to authorize Kelly to drive the truck, one of the trucks up there, for which the family was very happy and grateful. We now move to public comment on the consent agenda. Maybe I should note at the outset that Resolution 17-42, awarding a contract for driveway mitigation improvements at the Borough Water Tower, is being pulled at this time. So, do we have any comments on the consent agenda, comments or questions? Could you please come to the podium and give your name and address? Thank you.
Judith Mathis, 3A North Valley Road. This is just a clarification question. The local registrar?
Yes.
What is that position?
The registrar is the person who records births, deaths, marriages in the town.
By law,
we're required to have a registrar and a deputy registrar.
Okay, so the deputy registrar does the same, is responsible for the same thing.
Correct. They're both part-time positions here.
Okay.
I would like to actually pull the bills from the consent agenda.
We had a meeting now.
Okay. Well, let's finish with the public.
Okay, I just didn't want them to.
Sure. Any more questions or comments from the public on the consent agenda? Okay. And Peggy, where are we? I'm just looking for the payment of bills on the bottom. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll pull that from the consent agenda. I'm pulling 1742 was to award a contract for driveway mitigation and improvements at the Borough Water Tower. At some point, millings were dropped at the water tower. And were used as a base for cars, trucks, whatever, make it look more like a roadway. Unfortunately, millings are not allowed to be used for that purpose, according to the DEP. We have several choices. All of them pretty much involve covering it with asphalt or some mixture. The contract that we got and the recommendations we got from the engineers only relate to the east side of the water tower. And so we need to get a lot more information about the cost of doing the west side, et cetera. So that's why we're pulling it. One more minor change. Resolution 17-43 is not appointing. It's acknowledging deputy registrar. Deputy registrar is appointed by the registrar.
Say that again, John.
Sure. 1743, strike the word appointing. And put in the word acknowledging.
And they're appointed by whom?
By the registrar.
By the registrar. Okay.
For the record, you want to state who the registrar and the deputy registrar are?
The registrar is Kathleen Hart, and the deputy registrar is in the resolution.
Lorraine Maher?
Yeah, Lorraine Moore. I, w- was corrected in that pronunciation. Lorraine Moore is a registrar over at Millstone.
And is that part of a shared services agreement, or is it just as it is?
We already have, we already pay them, I think it's $2,550 or $2,600 a year.
Okay.
Our former deputy registrar was Kathleen Hart.
I remember.
Right, so when she comes over, she becomes registrar. Now she has to appoint a deputy.
Yeah.
Any questions at the table about the consent agenda? Oh, I'm sorry. Nobody moved. Yes,
agenda.
Thank you. Is there a second on the consent agenda?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion at the table or questions?
Just out of curiosity, on 1741, sewer appropriation funds, other expenses, $50,000. Any particular?
That came over from our CFO. I think finance may be familiar with that.
Yeah, it's just the I have no idea where I wrote it, but here it is. It's the unexpended balances from the end of last year. So then we carry them forward to this year so that we can pay for things that arise the first 3 months.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
There are no further. Would you please call the roll on the consent agenda?
Ms. Luna?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tixon?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
We now move to reports of committee chairs, starting with...
Are we going to take up the payment of bills?
Okay. Thank you. Payment of bills. Yes.
Is that included in the consent agenda?
No, that was pulled by Councilwoman Malkin.
Oh, okay.
Ms. Malkin?
Yeah, I have some questions and concerns about some of the bills. KTK was paid $5,400 for 1 day for one snowplow, which was January 6th. And, you know, we got about 7 inches, but it wasn't a huge storm or anything. It just seems like a good deal of money. And I know that our CFO had recommended that we do shared services with Hightstown or Millstone. And so I see we also paid Millstone $300 for snow plowing. So I'm assuming that was that little portion of road that's really ours near Ely's Corner.
Is it Ely's Corner or is it Nurco? Nurco Road.
Oh, Nurco. Okay. So if we, as long as we're paying Millstone, I think that it would be a good idea to discuss with Millstone or Hightstown shared services for snow plowing. Because I think also we didn't. The borough also do some plowing on that day. So it was like we were plowing plus KTK plowed and cost $5,400 plus $300 to Millstone. That's a lot of money for 1 7-inch storm, 7-inch snow.
Was that the most recent?
No, that one was the one was that one was last Saturday, right? This was January 8th, I think.
January 8th.
Yeah.
So I think it would behoove us to talk to Millstone or Hightstown about shared services. I know you had mentioned that KTK was available, you know, in emergencies and on the weekends, but evidently Millstone plows on the weekends as well, so I think that it would be a good idea to start discussions with them.
Well, we can certainly start discussions. I don't think it's a bad idea. I would point out just you're talking about both of us plowing. What happens is our plow is a Ford 250 pickup. So what happens is that when it starts snowing, Kelly gets out there, starts pushing the snow out of the way. Depending on how fast it's coming down, either she can keep up with it or she can't. If she can't keep up with it, she calls, she gets an authorization,
right.
She brings in KTK. I'm just explaining why they have two. So
yeah.
They then split the town so that one of them does one side, one of them does the other. Otherwise, they can't keep up.
So then that's actually a lot of money for half the town, $5,400.
Well, it's hours and trucks. I mean, we pay by the hour for the manpower and the truck.
I just think it would be a good idea to talk about shared services.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Also, the legal bills were very high for January. It's $4,500 for 1 month. So I noticed on there were a lot of There was a lot of discussion about PSE&G. Can you, well, Rich, can you explain what?
PSE&G is an issue regarding the lift station on Lake Drive. Apparently, they installed a gas line to make the lift station work, but they did not install a meter, and the lift station cannot be hooked to the gas line without the meter. There were various contacts with PSE&G and to get them to install it, or at least to talk to us, which they hadn't done. And I also reached out to Senator Thompson, who said that he was going to speak with them and get them on it. As I recall, that was the PSE&G issue.
Well, there was another. Yeah, we're also battling over, is it 37 Pine?
37 Pine.
Oh, 37 that's right,
Pine,
yes.
Where they had dug up without announcement, then improperly filled the hole in so that the driveway, the residence driveway, is collapsing. And so we've been fighting with them to get them to come out and fix it. Fortunately, despite the fact that they will not answer any of our 20 phone calls, they sent a very nice letter saying that the signatory is the public relations person for PSE&G, and he'd love to meet with the mayor. Can he do that? And I said, sure. So our attorney will be at that meeting.
On the 28th.
On the 28th. And I expect Ms. Tyers will also be at that meeting, and I expect that he has no idea what he's walking into. Because I think we've got, 20 phone calls, 15, I don't know how many letters. I know the resident has written numerous letters and had numerous meetings. So with any luck, we should be able to get that resolved.
Okay. And the lift station as well, because that's been going on for a while. The borough paid a substantial sum of money for that, and it won't work without them installing the meter.
As you know, we tend to run out of power. When we run out of power, there's no power at the lift station, and unfortunately, Mr. Clark's house pays for that. So we want to get that generator filling as soon as possible. Did you have other?
Yeah, there was also, you sent an email about water sewer purchase. Can you tell us what that was about?
Water sewer purchase. Do you know which entry that was?
That's all. It just said email concerning water sewer purchase.
It was probably in regard to the ongoing issue about payment of the water sewer engineers.
I don't believe so. I think it has to do with the delivery of a particular chemical when we
took
the
low bid. You're right. It was sodium. Yes, I'm sorry. It was the sodium aluminate bid, which there was a dispute with the contractor that was awarded the contract, who had been informed last year that it had to be dispersed into the tank by a certain method, but then this year said they felt it was unsafe to do it that way. And then a question came up about if they can't do it and we need to get the sodium aluminate for the tank, what to do about it. Yeah, I'm sure there were various emails on that. There was some research on that, and there was a letter we reviewed that Anna had drafted telling them that we would have to look to another bidder if they couldn't do it, and could they assure us that they could do it. So that, you're right. That's what that was.
Okay. Yeah, it was just stood out. Also, there's a bill for Home Depot for $139. 53 cents for the butterfly garden, but this is from last May 17th, so I was wondering why it appeared 9 months later.
No idea. You have to talk to Anna.
And lastly, there were two hotel rooms rented in Atlantic City for the League of Municipalities convention.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering who went beside you.
I think there were four people who went. Our clerk went. Kelly Tyers went. Debbie Thomas went. I went. Did anybody else go?
Well, I don't think you all slept in the same two rooms.
That wasn't what you asked. You asked who went to
well, and
the League of Municipalities in Atlantic City.
And rented. Okay, who stayed in the two hotel rooms?
I stayed in one, and Ms. Tyers stayed in another. We had to order them at the last minute, so we used my credit card.
Okay. Well, they were fancy rooms.
What were they?
They were $100 a piece.
Where did you buy it? No, it came to a total of $255 something.
Right, plus tax and fees right. And all that shit.
I got one for $60.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, good, next time you
Well, they were king beds and a bay view, so it's a nice room.
You're serious, right?
Well, I'm not sure.
I'll order yours. You can have twin beds and look it on the inside.
I'm not sure, you know, why we needed two rooms, but...
Because I'm not going to sleep in Ms. Tyers' room.
But...
I mean, I don't...
Well...
Seriously, come on.
Seriously.
No, seriously, this is a joke.
Okay, well, to you.
Okay, next.
That's all I have.
Okay.
Can I ask still
sure?
on bills?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm new at this, so I know now that I should come early... I know now that I should come early and look at the bills and whatnot. There's over $7,000 in bills for the fire department. Is it that we should get these approved by the council before we...
They have a budget. They have a prior budget. Their total budget is 16, I believe last year was 16,000.
Okay, so that comes out of these bills. And
out of their budget, yeah. Okay. Yeah, these record every payment made by the municipality, whether it's in a budget or not in a budget.
Okay, okay. So do we know whether this exceeds the budget at this point, or this is just part of the budget?
The budget, the end of the budget year is December 31. We have a temporary budget for the first 3 months. That budget is supposed to be done by the end of January, I believe it was. And the budget can, under that temporary budget, you can spend 26.25% of the last year's expenditures. So for the first quarter of 2017, we can pay, if we had $1 million budget last year, which we didn't, but it's easier math.
If you had a $20,000 budget, right?
We could do $260,000 in the first quarter.
Okay, but if you had a $20,000 budget, you could do like...
You could do 26.25% of $20.
Around $5,000.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is in excess of $7,000, so should I sign this?
Should you sign? By the time you get... Okay, let's go back. By the time you get the bill list, mm-hmm. the bill list has gone through the clerk, the accounting clerk, the treasurer,
right.
And the CFO. Mm-hmm. So... it's certainly within the parameters that they've set. Whether you think it's too much is a different issue. But if it's but it's otherwise appropriate.
Okay, just...
It's a bit appropriate, you know. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And along the lines of what you said, which I was about to comment on, we had a discussion this afternoon. We're going to have Anna send these out to you and to anybody else who wants them. They've been being sent out with the... agendas, which could be Friday or Saturday. These come out on Thursday. We used to get them on Thursday. I've asked that they go out on Thursday, and that'll give us the opportunity to ask whatever questions.
Yeah, I spoke to her this afternoon. She said she would send them on Thursday.
Okay, and that way we can have any questions answered before we get into the meeting.
Yeah, along those lines, can I also ask that members of the Finance Committee receive a PDF of all bills, including the detail on it, like the borough attorney's bill. I'd like to be able to review it a few days before the bills are being paid. So I'd like them, if you can, to all the members of the Finance Committee, just PDF it so we can take a look at it. Otherwise, all I have is a number, because that's all that's listed on the bills list. So just be helpful. It's difficult to come in all the time. It'd be helpful if you can PDF.
So the procedure that we've had, a written procedure, is that it gets signed off by the head of whatever committee is in charge of that function. So I think that what we ought to do is send it to everybody rather than her having to figure out what committee it is.
And then
finance can review it as finance, and whoever heads that committee can review it as that committee.
Yeah.
Okay.
And since we're talking about the bills list.
Hang on. Let me okay. just. Okay.
Yeah,
so
write that down before you forget.
Bills list to all by Thursday.
Including detail on it.
Well, that's separate. So PDF to the Finance Committee, and then I'm going to put "and others?" question mark. Because I don't know how voluminous that is.
Yeah.
There's a, I mean,
I don't know either.
It might be easier if you tell them what bills you want rather than the whole. There's a lot of bills sometimes.
Yeah. Well, the ones that are, you know, like one page or one simple item are it's no big deal. But the ones that are tend to be a lot of entries on it, like the borough attorney bill, it'd be helpful to be able to review that.
How about if we just ever send all of them out for a couple of weeks, then you guys say, okay, we really don't need to see.
Yeah, we'll cut you back and say, you know,
okay,
these are the ones we're interested in.
Also, I don't know about you, I get a lot of emails.
Me too. While we're on talking about that, the public packet for meetings that the public can get, or if they're on a list for that, I'd like to suggest that the bills list be part of the public packet as well, since it's their money that we're spending. Not the long involved, the list that we have, so they'll see where their money is going, which we have a very kind of not detailed list, but it gives the items and who the vendors are and how much we're spending on each item.
I'm fine with that as long as it's permissible.
Yeah.
I know there are certain things we can't send.
Yeah, if you
like
can't send
resolutions
it,
we haven't approved, et cetera. But
sure.
Okay, bills list to public question mark.
And so also tagging on to what Mike just said, could I get like this form of bill the Thursday before so I could look it over and ask questions? The ones that I was just asking about, fire department bills and whatnot. The itemized, not just the one-liners, but the full, you know.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
So I can as...
Oh, you'll get them all, and then after a couple of weeks, you'll tell us what you don't want.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Okay.
Good. Okay, but thank before you. We go any further, mm-hmm. Do we have any more objections to the bills list? Okay. So can I get a motion to pay the bills?
Move to pay the bills.
Second.
Second. So please call the roll.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Mrs. Lakoti?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickman?
Aye.
Mr. Kamau?
Aye.
Now, are there more questions or suggestions on the bill list? I just wanted to approve it before I forgot. We now, I believe, come to reports of committee chairs. Nobody's screaming. I'm good. Okay. Councilman Hamilton, Public Works, please.
No report.
Mr. Tickton, Community Development, Code Enforcement, and Senior as well.
Okay. Under new business, we have three... approval of three applications to rent for the license, which is required by the ordinance to rent rental property. These are all properties which are currently unoccupied, and for one reason or other, code official has been involved. The one case, there was a bed and breakfast, the Airbnb operating there. Another case, the history of continued code violations going back many years. And in the third case, there was a zoning issue with the occupancy of the apartment requiring occupancy of the store and the occupancy by somebody using the store, which is all required by the ordinances. So these will be coming up under new business. I'm not aware of any. Is there any developments on the medical marijuana front? Let us know about it. Has anything happened?
No.
No. Okay.
As far as I know, they're still doing their due diligence.
I'm sorry?
As far as I know, they're still doing their due diligence.
Okay.
Which is the last conversation. Yeah.
That's our big development issue, so I think we'd want to follow that. Okay, that's all.
Councilwoman Vana, Administration and Environmental Commission Rep.
Okay. CPR training class was held on Saturday, February 4th. The class was a great success. In attendance were fire and first aid members, borough employees, and residents. Thanks to Jack Rint for teaching the training. Seniors, 1st of March meeting, will have JCPNL as a speaker for their meeting. The administration committee met to talk about some of the contracts, other administration improvements, things such as job descriptions and looking into contracts earlier in the year. We will be meeting. We already have a second follow-up meeting scheduled, and we will continue to meet and do our homework so that we can improve practices in the borough. For the Environmental Commission, Forest Management, Ron Farr, the forester who's working on the Environmental Commission on a forest management plan, came to Roosevelt on February 8th to meet with the chair, Eitan Grunwald, and Steve Taylor and Jill Lapote, who are serving on the Forest Management Planning Advisory Group. They gave Mr. Farr a tour of the town and a walk through the woods so he could become acquainted and make firsthand observations of Roosevelt's municipal trees and forest. The Environmental Commission has determined that $1,200 of expenses charged to the Municipal Environmental Commission budget, which were already approved by the Borough Council, could be covered instead by the current Sustainable Jersey grant. This includes $800 for stump grinding at the Butterfly Park being created where the autumn olives were removed last fall, or last summer.
I think it was in the 19th century.
And they haven't grown back. Kudos.
$150 for an Earth Day presentation at the Roosevelt Public School, and $250 towards the forest management plan. Excuse me. The amount not covered by a separate NJDEP grant, and the reallocation has been communicated to the Borough Finance Department. And that's all I have tonight.
Thank you. Anything from the clerk? Anything to report? Okay. Councilor?
Mayor, a few items. First, wanted to talk a little bit about Verizon and a request they made. They had sent a letter in mid-December, which really had two purposes. The first was to ask for what they called a blanket approval for something, and then they said at some point in the future, and this is the second purpose, they would come and ask for specifics. And generally speaking, what they were talking about was that they were looking at some point to be putting on the telephone poles, and it's a little unclear whether the existing poles or they want to add more poles. A device is called nodes to help with the transmission. What they were looking for first was from the council was a blanket approval, and then they said they would come back in specifics. And we consulted with Michelle Donato, and her feedback was from presentation she had been at the Institute of Local Government Attorneys that municipalities should resist or not give these blanket approvals, and that when they were ready for specifics, they should come in for their permits, be them whatever permit they need for when they identify a specific site. So we would recommend that the borough give no blanket approvals. And also, we had written to them asking why they wanted a blanket approval, and they've never replied. So we don't know.
I think we did send a letter that declined the blanket approval, I think.
Well, we're going to do that. We're going to find out about the streets first. But I don't see any reason to wait. So that is Verizon. I wanted to make a report on the EPL insurance. You may recall we spent a lot of time last year on enacting certain things to get a preferred deductible on the employment practices liability insurance. And we never heard back from them, so I followed up with Chuck Cassaground at the Denskin Agency, and he said that we met all the deadlines and met all the requirements, and now we have the preferred deductible on the EPL insurance. It would be nice if they had sent us something in writing, but they never did. The third item is the borough had one tax foreclosure action going against an entity, I believe, known as JT Realty, and that has been redeemed. The debtor has paid all the taxes and other fees and have redeemed, so the tax foreclosure proceedings no more.
Thank you.
Do you know the address on that, the street?
It's on Rochdale. I don't remember the number.
19 South Rochdale.
19. Thank you.
So is that 19 or 18?
19.
19. Councilmember Malkin, Finance and Planning Board.
Okay, well, the Finance Committee met with our CFO to begin working on the budget for 2017. However, when we talked about scheduling a second meeting, we were told that the CFO told me that he was told not to meet with us unless we met with the borough attorney.
What? I'm sorry, say again.
When I talked to George Lang about, you know, next finance meeting, he said that you had told him that you would prefer for Rich to be there.
Never had that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he told me, because of possible pending litigation.
First time hearing.
That is what he told me, but maybe
I believe you, but somebody clearly got a message wrong. I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, I'll clarify it with him, because, I mean, that is what he told me, but maybe he misunderstood.
Maybe he just mixed up some conversation.
Would that have to do with possible discussions with persons that we had contracts with? Him why he said the municipal attorney should be present?
No, we were just regular finance meeting.
That's what I was told.
No.
Planning board. There was a great deal of discussion involving the composition of minutes, where it was decided that there has to be a balance between too much detail and not enough. Apparently, there used to be too much detail in the minutes, but now some planning board members feel that it's too sketchy, that there's not enough substance to it. So, there was also a discussion of the master plan, which is currently under review by our planner, Tom Thomas, and this plan is due by the end of March. However, there's many issues that are of concern, but they can still be discussed, altered, changed, whatever we want, after the plan submission date of March 24th. So submitting the official review of the master plan doesn't negate any further discussions that we might want to have about it.
I think you mean the re-examination.
Yeah, what did I say?
The plan, which infers the master plan.
Re-examination of the plan, the review. There's also a lot of discussion about bringing the public into the discussions concerning the review. We don't get many residents coming to the planning board meetings, and particularly now, we would like input as to what residents would, you know, any interests or concerns they have. So a flyer will be mailed probably any day to the residents encouraging their participation in the last two planning board meetings that will be held before submission date, which is February 21st and March 7th. So we strongly encourage you to attend those two planning board meetings if you have anything at all that you want to discuss concerning our master plan review.
I was going to add to that, but I thought you were done already.
Oh, just one last thing. From Recreation, Stacy, I spoke to Eric, and he wanted to know if you had he said no parent had contacted him. He wanted to know if you had the parents' names who you said had, you know, you had. There were parents who were wondering if the summer camp was still, which it is every year, but he said, do you have those names? Because no one had contacted him at all. He said he doesn't usually get calls this early in the year.
Okay, I'll get that to you.
Okay, so, but there will be summer camp again this year. And that's all for me.
Under the land use laws, we have a master plan that governs pretty much what goes where in our town. And it controls, to some extent, the zoning without getting too much into the particulars. But the law requires us to do a reexamination of that every 10 years. This is the 10th year. 2007 was the last time that a reexamination was done. So if you have any concerns about zoning or more the master plan, I think the issue that Ms. Malkin is talking about is we only have until March 29 to submit that.
24th.
March 24? Mm-hmm. Okay. To submit that reexamination report. So anything that we want to consider putting in or changing in the master plan over the next 10 years should go into that reexamination report. So this is your opportunity to come in and say, I think this should be this should be in the master plan. This shouldn't be in the master plan. Whatever it is that you like or dislike about the way the town is laid out or our zoning, this is your chance to come in. So I would urge all of you to come in. We have a the master plan is on the website. You're more than welcome to download it. It's really big. But there are maps in it, so that's probably the good place to start. There's also a draft reexamination report that you can download, much, much shorter. You might want to take a look through that, and that's what we're going to be working on. So thank you for that.
One question?
Sure.
Before the minutes were too detailed, and now they're not as detailed,
yes.
Who's the current secretary?
Joe McGrath.
Okay.
But apparently the planning board attorney felt that the previous minutes had a little too much detail.
Mm-hmm.
So now I think they've gone too far
in the other direction. Yeah. Okay.
Although I have to say it was not Joe McGrath who did the previous minutes.
I know it's Ellen, and they were very detailed.
Right. So the pendulum went way too far the other way.
Okay. Pay transcribers. I just curious, who was at the finance meeting that you actually held?
The finance committee and our CFO. Two members of the public.
Two members of the public, and who were they?
What?
Because there was some concern. I'm just asking who attended the meeting.
Bob Clark.
Okay.
And Maureen Parrott.
And they were invited individually?
I don't know. When I got to the meeting, they were here.
Okay. Thank you. Councilwoman Lapode.
On a question?
Yes.
Was it okay that they were there? Just curious, if I have a meeting and I have people from the public there, is that acceptable or what?
The issue is whether or not it's a public meeting. And there's a concern when you have a committee meeting and you say, well, I'm going to invite members of the public, but I'm only going to invite that one and that one. Because then it seems like, as a phrase that Mike likes to use, is a secret meeting. Mm-hmm. And so it's concerning that it's not open or closed, but that somewhere in between. So that was the major concern. If you want to have a public meeting, I think that's a great idea. There's a procedure for calling a public meeting. Either I can call it or the council can decide to call public meetings. And if you want to have public council meetings, we can do that. We put a notice in the newspaper. We put a notice up on the bulletin board.
Can a council chairman call a public meeting?
No. It is either the council in its entirety or the mayor.
So if I wanted to have a public meeting, I would have to have it cleared through the council here.
Yes, that's the law.
Good.
Can I just say that I don't
but
think...
I think I'm saying you want to have public meetings,
yeah.
Tell us when and
The problem with committees is if somebody says, when's your next committee meeting, is it okay for the public to come? I have a hard time saying when people ask, no, that's a closed meeting. Generally, I say if you want to, but we're not going to discuss anything of any urgency, just public works things or whatever. Oftentimes, I'd like to get the public's input, but the way that I always thought about this is that it's not actually considered an official governmental body meeting if there's less than a quorum there. And so
it's
doesn't
not subject to the open public,
open public meetings.
Right.
And so it really doesn't require necessarily... to be advertised if public wants to come. Do I have that right?
It doesn't require those prescriptions of the law that are present when you have a quorum of the governing body.
Yeah, that's something we could use maybe a couple page printout on just so we don't run afoul with that kind of thing.
As I say, the concern that was raised by a number of people is, you know, when you say I'm going to have a public meeting, and there's no announcement, and so you then come back and say, well, we talked to the public, and this is what they want, and the public is comprised of two people who you invited. It's kind of misleading.
Well, I don't think anybody invited them. They asked if they could come, maybe. Or they saw cars parked out in front of Borough Hall and said, is there a meeting, you know?
So you're saying that any public meeting has to have council approval?
Every public meeting? Absolutely.
Well, but you held all those town hall meetings and you didn't ask for council approval?
I'm the mayor.
So?
Mayor can call a public meeting.
So can a
mayor
council?
Mayor or four members of the council can call a public meeting.
We can call a council meeting.
Yeah, that's the borough board. That's right. A council meeting, yeah.
If it's a council meeting, but he's saying a committee meeting is not a council meeting. So is there
Because if you call a public meeting, right, if you have the three of you and I walk in, am I allowed to be there?
No.
No.
No, then it's
I am. It then becomes a public meeting.
But then
the moment I walk in the door,
as soon as you do that, it's an illegal meeting because we have a quorum and it wasn't advertised.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Which is why you advertise.
Which is why we tell you not to come, because we don't want to have illegal meetings. We've all ran into that situation.
Well, I've been told not to.
We don't mean to be rude, but you know, hey, we have a quorum and somebody's got to go.
I would suggest that if you put...
Not
if
you, on a Monday, anybody has to leave, then you know, somebody's got to leave.
If on a Monday afternoon you put up a sign on the bulletin board that says, hey, we're having a public meeting tonight. You've done an advertisement. You're asking the public to come. It's now open to the public, but we have not complied with the public notification.
There is no public notification required because it's not. There's no quorum. It's a committee meeting.
Until you put up the notice that says this is a public meeting.
Do you believe? Do you agree?
The only requirements of the law is in regard to the governing body. That's when you have to fulfill the notice requirements that are called for in the law when it's a meeting of the governing body.
Right.
So if a committee is having a meeting and they invite the public to it, that's not the governing body, that's the committee.
It's just two people.
You can do that as long as it doesn't violate your... I don't recall what you have in your administrative code. You've also... The borough's also adopted administrative code, which I think says something about it. I don't recall. I think it does because I remember it being debated years ago. As long as you're not violating your own code.
So if my committee wants to have a meeting sometime this next month and invite the public to it, say at the school, let's say, but we don't have a date laid down for the participants of the meeting yet, so if I ask tonight whether I could have that meeting sometime this next month, could the council say yes, and that could be a public meeting, and you guys could come at the same time?
You'd have to advertise.
Well, it'll be advertised, but we need to know when it's going to be before we
do it. No, it has to be advertised between 7 and 10 days ahead of time in a paper of local circulation.
I got all that,
and on the bulletin board, et cetera. So
all the stuff you read in the
beginning. You need to know ahead of time.
Okay.
But I guess my question is, if you want members of the public, why are you objecting to giving notice?
I'm not objecting to giving notice.
I didn't know.
Why would I object to that?
Yeah.
Well, because if you're going to have a public meeting, there's a process to give notice.
It was a committee
meeting. It's in the statute.
It's not a public meeting. It's a committee meeting. The public's
invited.
Yeah,
the statute. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. You might want to revisit your administrative code.
The administrative code says that any committee chair can choose to have their committee meeting in whatever manner they deem appropriate. That was changed a few years ago to allow committee chairs to decide how they want to hold their meeting. Prior to that, we had committee meetings here in Borough Hall. They were advertised. They were always open to the public. There were committee meetings of the whole, so we would all sit here, and sometimes the groups would divide up. But public notice was given in the beginning of the year so that we didn't have to worry about whether or not it needed to be advertised. It was advertised at one blanket kind of thing in the beginning of the year, and that was helpful. If one of the committees wanted to have a closed meeting because they were going to discuss personnel or something regarding contracts or litigation, then they could then say it's not open to the public. But I think that that's a good way to go because we wouldn't have to worry about violating the Open Public Meetings Act. We could have one notice saying that all committee meetings are going to be held here on the Mondays when we don't have council meetings, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm actually suggesting that.
This way we wouldn't run afoul with any
And that way you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
right, agreed. Okay. I'd like to offer a resolution. When time comes, I'd like to offer a resolution to that effect, that we state that on other than the second and fourth Monday, the council meetings committee meetings may be held.
We'd have to change the code.
You would have to do that by ordinance to change the code.
It's okay. So we should start initiate that process.
Well, I'm going to make one suggestion to initiate that process, and the first is to ask our deputy clerk once again to check the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so You don't want to schedule it for every other Monday only to find out that something else is every third Monday or whatever.
Yeah. So we'll have to take a look at our meeting dates and then figure it out from there.
Yeah. Right. And then you have the planning board and all the rest of it.
That's a good way to resolve it.
Okay.
One last thing.
Doesn't have to be last.
Well, that's all I have until I do my report. But are you finished? I don't want to.
Yeah.
Okay. So in my committee report, it says that we met with certain fire officials from around. Is that illegal that nobody was invited to that, or is that okay?
No, that was not calling a public meeting.
If it's a committee, that's fine.
You know, it's investigation. Committees have the right to do investigation. That's part of their function.
Okay. All right, cool.
Any more comment on that? Okay. Councilwoman Lapote, utilities.
The roof has been completed at the water treatment plant, the roof replacement project, and it has been inspected by the building inspector and was found to be fine. So we have a new roof, and we no longer have water leaking into the water treatment plant.
Is it a pitched roof, do you know, or does it have any kind of pitch?
Yes, there. It has been a pitch to it to bring the water towards the two drains. The drains were unclogged using a company, I think, called Route 24 that cleaned out the drain. In taking off the old roof, they uncovered where the openings were for those drains. One of them had been roofed over, which is one reason it didn't drain. So now both of them are open, and a basket-type thing has been placed over that to prevent leaves and such from going down in there and causing the problem again. Okay. So this was a pretty comprehensive roof repair, and I think that they did it kind of right this time.
Yeah. Is that going to require any kind of maintenance in terms of getting the leaves off of it?
We should, after the fall, have somebody go up there and make sure that the leaves are blown off of the roof so that the water can flow easily. Okay. But having these screens in place should prevent the problem of leaves getting in there and then clogging it up and then and having no water flowing.
When they put the new large pieces, filters into the plant, is that when the drains got blocked?
No, the drains were not blocked when they put the new filters in. To put the new filters in, they had to cut a large hole and put in a kind of a bay opening. But that was not where the leaks were occurring. The leaks were where the drains had been clogged. So it was unrelated to the work of those filters. I attended a meeting of the New Jersey Environmental Infrastructure Trust, and that was on January 28th from 8:30 to noon. At that time, they described New Jersey Environmental Infrastructure Trust, NJEIT for short, described their financing program for 2017. They have discontinued some types of loans, and they have changed their process. So it was a rather instructive meeting on what kinds of projects are eligible. They have projects that are eligible in both the water treatment and in what they call clean water, which actually means sewage.
Like Iceland and Greenland?
I guess the idea is that you're trying to make clean water go out into the stream, and therefore you have to treat the sewage. But it is a confusing designation to call it clean water when it's actually sewage. Some of the drinking water funding packages include something which is called asset management. You may have heard me talk about asset management in previous meetings. It means looking at everything that you've got in your plant and figuring out what is the useful life of that pump or filter or what have you, and making a plan for when it's going to need replacement so that you actually replace it before it catastrophically fails. We had waited until they catastrophically failed where the DEP was going to find us, and I think that the asset management would be a very useful way of doing this. It's under the drinking water funding package, and it is eligible for principal forgiveness of 100%. Principal forgiveness is another one of those terms, like clean water meaning sewage. Principal forgiveness means that they forgive your loan, which is the same as a grant, but they have no authority to give grants, so they give principal forgiveness loans.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
If clean water equals sewage.
Yes.
And the asset management can be reimbursed under the drinking water program.
You don't drink sewage.
Okay, so it's post-treatment, not pre-treatment. Okay.
I knew where you were going on this one.
Yeah.
No. They have also changed their process, and they now have various programs for both short-term loans and for long-term loans. Short-term loans are up to 3 fiscal years. Long-term loans are up to 30 years. But there's only one application process, so you can go in with one application for a larger program, but obtain shorter-term loan programs, which allows you to do things like pay for planning and design, which I think is something that the borough should take advantage of. There was a lot of information provided. It was very detailed. I'm not going to go into all of it, but I've hit the highlights. And that's the end of the report.
Thank you. Mr. Trammell, Environmental Health and Safety.
Hi there. I'm going to read this, and I would like to have an electronic copy put into the borough. I want to give a copy to the clerk so it'll be available at the Roosevelt Bulletin Board also, so people could read it and not have to just hear it here tonight.
Why don't you just put it on the bulletin board?
Would you like me to make copies for the council members so we could follow along, and then maybe we could get extra chairs for the people that are standing there?
Sure.
And could we take a short break so they could sit down?
There should be more chairs in the closet.
Oh, yeah, the firefighters were pulling them out.
They just didn't get enough.
The question is where we're going to put the chairs. Count everybody by one? Did they count everybody by one?
I'm
going
to rub all points.
We have 99 is all I'm asking.
No, no. Okay. I think you have about 55 in the audience. And at the table, we have
that's a good idea.
9. Somewhere between 60 and 65.
Are we reaching maximum occupancy?
99.
Yeah, that's what I was just looking at.
Yeah, 99.
Cracking it open.
A lot of people under 100. It's 99 because there's a posting in there that has to happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I'm number 100, you know, I'm more than happy.
No,
there's going to be a fight over that.
We'll all be racing for that one.
Switzerland is neutral.
No. Switzerland has referendums constantly. Like my son-in-law says, we didn't bother having to do this stuff. Why would that be the government? Because everything is
at least the wind has died down.
But I think for the trouble is they do things in a referendum, but eliminate the right of residence.
Oh, yeah. I did see that on the news up north.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back in session. Thank you for waiting. Mr. Trammell, you wanted to read a statement.
Yes, I do. Okay. So this is our safety committee report for tonight's council meeting. And on Wednesday, January 11th, our safety committee, myself, Michael Ticton, Peggy Malkin, met at the Monmouth County Fire Academy with Monmouth County Fire Marshal Kevin Stout and fellow Roosevelt resident and Englishtown Fire Marshal Ed Miller. Kevin is also the Long Branch Fire Chief and is participating in a shared service agreement with the town of Monmouth Beach. Ed's Englishtown Fire Department is also participating in a shared service agreement with parts of neighboring Manalapan. Purpose of our meeting was to obtain a clear understanding of our duties, responsibilities, and liabilities as a committee, council, and borough in the matter of ensuring life, safety, and the protection of property of our Roosevelt citizens. We now understand that all emergency personnel, fire, EMS, OEM, and code enforcement are deemed to be employees of the borough for purposes of liability, since they are acting under authorization from the borough, and we, individuals, committee, council, and borough, are fully liable for the actions and safety of the employees and equipment used by these employees. Also, as for all fire departments in New Jersey, our borough clerk must have on file copies of complete personnel applications, New Jersey's valid license and DMV abstracts, full criminal history and background checks of all personnel, equipment inventories with yearly inspection reports and certifications, apparatus inventories with yearly inspection reports and certification, personal safety gear with yearly inspection reports and certification, yearly physicals for all personnels. All firefighter one firefighters must have state certification, and it goes into that on here. All fire officers, chiefs, assistant chiefs, and line officers must have CERT issues, firefighter certifications also. That is listed on here. Beyond all of that, Kevin Stout told us that the Joint Insurance Fund, JIF, would only cover us on any claims if all vehicles, equipment, and personnel involved in any incident were appropriately certified. If we do not have all of this paperwork on file and in order and anyone gets hurt, then we, individuals, committee, council, and borough, are liable. Kevin said that he was willing to come to Roosevelt and meet with the council to discuss this and other matters and answer any questions. We also know that a firehouse is not as simple as a garage to keep trucks in. Firehouse must be equipped with OSHA standard equipment and ventilation that would add hundreds of thousands of dollars to the cost. Basic fire engine new would cost at least $300,000. We do not know how much it would cost to bring an older truck up to standards. All personnel should have turnout gear, helmets, coats, pants, and boots. The safety equipment, including self-contained breathing apparatus, or what they call scuba. This would cost over $10,000 per fireman. Modern communications equipment, infrared cameras, computers, and electronics will certainly have to be considered, as many fire departments are floating bonds just to upgrade their older equipment. All of the above-mentioned firehouse equipment, apparatus, and personal protection gear must be maintained, inspected, and certified on at least a yearly basis. Personnel must have continuing education and trained as per New Jersey Fire Code and their chief of department. We now know that all of this is not cheap. The cost of a firehouse and department goes well beyond the cost of a basic structure to house apparatus. There should be a plan in place that covers all the above requirements in depth. It would be incumbent upon us to know the true cost of having a proper fire service before committing ourselves. We also explored the concept and nature of shared services with neighboring towns. In doing so, we scheduled a meeting with Dave Markunis, Millstone Fire Commissioner. We met at the Millstone Firehouse in Clarksburg on January 19th. Dave was kind enough to give us a tour of his firehouse. It was an impressive station with two tankers, ladder truck, engines, rescue vehicles, brush truck, and chief's vehicle. We then sat down and discussed the fact that Millstone has taken care of our emergencies for years, including an average of 24 calls per year from 2012 to 2016. Dave said that in 2016, Millstone responded to almost 800 calls in total. Millstone has responded to approximately 100% of our calls, totaling 12 in 2016, January through August. It was acknowledged that we have not contributed anything to Millstone in that time. Dave Markunas said that he would support a phase-in period of up to 5 years, but that after that period, Roosevelt would have to pay the same rate as Millstone taxpayers pay. We discussed several shared service agreements of other towns, Englishtown, Manalapan, Upper Freehold, Allentown, Long Branch, Monmouth Beach, Allenhurst, Lock Arbor, and Alakin. We discussed setting a fixed or sliding scale of cost per different types of incidents, a fixed price per year, a minimum price per year with additional cost per incident, FEMA guidelines for reimbursement, and more. Ed was very informative as to how any of these scenarios would benefit both parties involved. On February 1st, we, the committee, and Ed Miller met the Monroe District 2 Station 57 Chief of Department Jim Carbon and two of his district commissioners. It was a very cordial meeting at the Halsley-Applegarth Road Firehouse, which is approximately 5 miles from Roosevelt. We discovered that this is a 24/7 professionally staffed department with engines, brush trucks, ladder trucks, rescue vehicles, tankers, EMS vehicles at this location, and more. Jim stated that the response time to Roosevelt is about 6 minutes, and they have the means of controlling the traffic light on Route 33. We discussed the possibility of contracting their services, and they were interested. At their February 8th commissioners meeting, they discussed it and decided they could offer us a 3-year contract at a fixed rate. Jim stated that he would be available to speak at council or public meetings and answer any questions. We also realized that neither Roosevelt Fire Department, Millstone Fire Department, nor Applegarth have the capability to deal with hazardous materials such as chlorine, which we have stored in our water and sewer plants. Teams in the immediate area are the Monmouth County Hazmat Team, West Windsor Emergency Service, and Middlesex Hazmat Team. Respectfully submitted, Joe Trammell, Chair of the Safety Committee, and members Michael Ticton and Peggy Malkin. That's it.
Thank you. As I noted at the beginning, I'm splitting the mayor's comment into two.
I'd like to have some discussion on the report.
Oh, this is a discussion of the report. You might want to hear mine first, but if you want to discuss that first, go ahead.
Okay. Well, since I was part of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, I'm not sure if everyone on the council, the mayor and council, fully understand that we were told that anything that happens, that would happen, occur now, anything catastrophic with either the firefighters or their equipment, anything at all, every council person and the mayor would be held liable because JIF will not cover all of it. So we would be personally liable for anything that happens.
Quick question, since you just raised that. When did you talk to JIF?
We spoke to Kevin Stout, who is the fire marshal.
When did you talk to JIF?
We did not speak to JIF. We spoke to Kevin Marshall, who is the fire commissioner. I'm sorry, the fire marshal of Monmouth County. And Jim Carbon, who's been the fire chief, he was the fire chief in Millstone for 15 years and is currently the fire chief in Applegarth, Monroe.
So you didn't speak with JIF?
No.
Okay,
but
so
I
your last statement that JIF would not cover us.
No, would not cover us completely. They would only cover partially.
Let me break in here. When there is an incident and someone gets injured, mm-hmm. the first thing that the insurance company does is go to the borough clerk's office and, Rich, correct me if I'm wrong, ask for all the reports, all the documentation from the fire department. Am I correct?
No, but that's okay.
Can he answer the question, Jeff?
Will the insurance company ask for the documentation? Well, the insurance company will typically, if it's a covered claim, they'll appoint an attorney who will certainly ask for all those things, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And if those things are not in order?
If those things are not in order, I would have to talk to JIF or our insurance agent to determine.
All right. So you don't know either?
I don't know off the top of my head.
But as top of your head, if the paperwork, the certifications, trucks, training, all of that are not in order, then who's liable?
who is liable.
Yeah.
Well,
there's an injury, a death, whatever. It's what these guys deal with, life and death.
An accident.
Liability would depend on whether you have, well.
If the certifications are not in order, Jeff is giving me the impression that Jeff is going to pay at least partially or something. Or I don't know what he's saying over there, but this is a lawyer's question, I would imagine, an insurance company question.
Yeah, and I'd have to talk to the insurance company. I wouldn't know off the top of my head.
Right.
I wouldn't know off the top of my head.
The point is both Kevin Stout and the fire district representatives we talked to both made this point. They're claiming that if these papers were not in order, Jeff would not pay. This obviously would have to be verified by seeing, you know, to get a letter from Jeff saying what the, you know, what their terms are. This just raises the question. That is a question that we have to ask. This was basically a fact finding to raise questions.
Right, actually. And they brought up several examples, like Asbury Park, where a fireman had to go out of a window, was severely injured, and the first thing that the insurance company did was go to the borough clerk's office and say, show me the paperwork. And it worked out. It was okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jeff, but you...
Yeah. Please continue.
Thank you.
Well, they also stated that $571,000 our bond is woefully inadequate for what we would need to really have a functioning, fully functioning fire department here, fire company, that you're really looking at between $2 and $3 million. And we heard this from all three separate entities that we met with, that then they gave us all kinds of numbers for.
And can I bring this up also? I saw some numbers that you came up with, Jeff, and you said that, look, we can do this for $571,000. Even Wrightstown had to pay $2 million, I believe is what you said, for a firehouse.
They built a real firehouse, yes.
What are we going to do? What is the plan?
Steel pole building.
Okay. One of the issues that they raised was that, in fact, the carbon had raised, was that the Peosha... He didn't think Peosha would approve pole barn for that use. So this is, again, something we have to verify this with Peosha before we do anything. Mm-hmm. Again, we're raising questions that have to get the most authoritative answers to it.
Right. I'll wait till they come.
Also, we had, background checks had been brought up, and we were told that we don't do background checks, but they said that we absolutely must have background checks on every firefighter, first aider. We have to have background checks. We have to have the DMV abstract.
That the state considers it mandatory.
Okay. And it's an obligation. I mean, it's something. It's not by choice. It's something that has to be, that we must have here. And there were some other issues that they brought up, and I can wait until after to bring those up. If you
want to
give the second half of your speech.
No, we've...
So I'd also love to have a town hall meeting at the school to have all of these gentlemen here to really answer the questions.
We have
but
done
I'm trying
two
to figure
town
out,
hall meetings. We have done a year
well,
of
no,
commission
I'm just trying
meetings.
To figure out how
You've
to
done
do
two
it.
Town hall
can
meetings.
Can I read my statement?
Oh.
Please. Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay. My programmers sometimes use the acronym EGO. EGO means garbage in, garbage out. This is analogous to the maxim that the way you ask a question will determine the answer you receive. Why am I telling you this? Well, I spent a good part of the last several weeks speaking with the county and state fire marshals, Monroe Fire District commissioners, and the Joint Insurance Fund. In the case of the Joint Insurance Fund, it's the same conversation we've had every year confirming our full coverage. I also reviewed the latest ISO correspondence. The state fire marshals are the officials who actually inspect the borough facilities and our fire department, and JIF is the ultimate arbiter of whether our emergency services comply with applicable rules, regulations, certifications, and inspections for insurance purposes. They confirmed that our emergency services personnel and equipment are compliant with applicable requirements. This is no surprise. We've been through this routine several times. those of you who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. A little over a year ago, we got a letter from Ed Miller in which he made all of these complaints, which was responded to 2 days later by the fire department, which said, here's all the certificates you claim we don't have. My conversations with the county fire marshal and Monroe, which, by the way, is more than 5 miles, which you should keep in mind because your insurance rates go up once you get past 5 miles, which
no,
is why we haven't had... Excuse me,
anymore.
I'm reading. And correct you the 5 times you were incorrect, so let me continue. Is more than 5 miles from here, and you can check your with your insurer, and you will find that to be true. No. They confirmed, or Google for that matter, they confirmed that they had been approached by a couple of council people and at least one resident. Based on those conversations, they were under the impression that we have 4 or 5 firefighters, that our firefighters are not trained or certified, that our in-service trucks do not have current GIF certifications, and that we have an ISO rating of 9. I corrected their misinformation by advising them we have 18 firefighters, 16 of whom completely meet all current certification requirements, and 2 of whom are in training. I also advised them that all of our in-service equipment is annually certified by a GIFT-approved facility, that our ISO rating is 6, not 9, 6 being better than 9. We have not paid for a fire engine since 1947, and we currently pay approximately $16,000 a year for our fire services, as we have paid that amount or less, with one exception, for the past 10 or 15 years. They were both surprised and relieved. The county fire marshal did recommend that we check with the state police to assure that all fire department driver's licenses are current. I don't believe we do that right now. It's a good idea, and we're starting that process. The county fire marshal also agreed to meet with our emergency service volunteers and our engineers after the March 14th referendum to assist in any final designs in the event the ESB ordinance is confirmed. So returning to our GIGO acronym, remember garbage in, garbage out, remember that when you hear what purports to be a recommendation of a government official, he or she is going to base that on the information they receive. Now, if you do not call GIF, or you do not call us and ask whether or not GIF has certified, if you don't ask the fire department whether or not they take the trucks down every year to the same GIF approved facility, if you don't ask if we had pump testing in the last 3 weeks, which we did, with the exception of one truck that they're coming back to pump test tomorrow, then you don't know any of this information. This information is information that was discussed numerous times over the last 18 months to 2 years. So I'm also kind of surprised that I have to get a call from the fire marshal saying, what's going on? Who are these people? So, you know, you raise all these issues as issues of which we were unaware. We're certainly aware of them. We meet with GIF on a regular basis. 2 weeks ago, we were at the reward ceremony. We sat down with them for, half an hour after that.
Can we talk?
You gave your report, I'm giving mine. But sure.
Okay, Applegarth is 4.3 miles to the border of Roosevelt.
No, it's not. Applegarth Station 2 is 6 to 8 miles. It's on Google.
It's not 8 miles.
It depends on which route you take.
I'm sorry, drive it. It's 5.3 to the post office.
That's not the arbiter anymore. It's not. Right. Does not go strictly by mileage. It also goes by...
Can I have that in writing?
Yeah, proximity to hydrants.
It's your favorite line.
So who did you speak with?
Huh?
Which fire marshal did you speak with?
Where, at the county or the state?
County.
At the county, I spoke with Stout. Mm-hmm. Same guy you talked to. So it's the only one. And
he can't speak
surprised.
With us? He can't speak with us until after the bond hearing, is what you're saying?
No, I didn't say that.
I asked
him if after the bond vote, mm-hmm. if the ordinance was approved, if he would come down and meet with our engineers and our firefighters to assist them in making sure that everything was done according to spec.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to say that, first of all, we did not give them any information. When we went into the meeting, they had all the information about Roosevelt. Right, Michael? They had, you know, our number of calls. They
from
had the
whom?
Names of the firefighters, both Kevin Stout and Jim Carbon.
Mm-hmm.
Why
Kevin
would they
Stout,
have them on hand? How did they get them?
Kevin, I don't know.
It's sort of like Bob Clark driving by to a meeting. He just right. pops in because he sees cars.
Okay.
Okay.
We're not in the public portion.
Jesus Christ, get with it. Sort of like a hotel.
Hey,
with
hey,
windows.
John.
How much
John,
you pay for a
John, we're not in the public portion.
All right. I'll say my time when it's time to speak. She's out of her fucking mind.
Hey, John.
Whoa, easy. A lot of ladies sitting here, dude. Excuse me.
Okay, come on.
Kevin Stout told us that Roosevelt is not on any mutual aid list. In other words, other fire companies will come here to give us mutual aid, but Roosevelt is not on any other town in Monmouth County on their mutual aid list. They will not call Roosevelt because it... Listen,
excuse me.
I can only tell you what the fire marshal of Monmouth County told us. Michael, did he not tell us that?
Yes,
that's
this
absolutely
is
correct.
Where he get his information.
He said they will not call
correct.
Roosevelt because of how inadequate our fire department is. That they're lacking in many, many different things, from certifications of the firefighters to the engines, the whole gamut, and so they will never... Okay, let me finish. So we are not on any mutual aid list at all. Now, you can spin this any way you want, but we went to three professionals. We went to Kevin Stout, who is the Monmouth County Fire Marshal. We went to Millstone and spoke to Dave Markunas. And we went to Applegarth Monroe with Jim Carbon, who was the fire chief in Millstone for many years and is now at Applegarth and knows our fire department very well. We didn't bring them any information. We only went with questions. We did not know what they were going to tell us. They had the run sheet list. They had the firefighter list. And they are the ones that told us that you're looking at $2 to $3 million. A pole barn is not a firehouse. That we're not on anyone's mutual aid list.
Were you here when Dave Markunas came?
Yes.
Were you here when? Did you attend the town meetings when he was here?
You're always talking about interrupting. Can I?
Fair enough.
And finally, that we don't have any of the paperwork that we're required to have as far as DMV abstracts, criminal backgrounds, criminal background checks, and physicals, okay. And that all...
Let me just jump in for a second.
But you're saying that, okay? And yet, these guys go to physicals. We have doctors who do the physicals. We have the inspection reports from GIF. GIF calls us on a semi-monthly basis to confirm various things. We have the air packs. We have the
air packs failed. The air packs that were donated to Roosevelt when they were sent out for testing, they all failed.
Every year, they get tested every year and they get passed and certified. Every single year I have them tested.
We were
every
told that the ones that were just donated when they were sent out, they all failed.
Those 36 were donated and they were no good and would not pass an inspection. So we actually sent them back to the company.
Guys, we're not in the public portion. John, please.
Okay, so let me just jump in here for a second. So what I read, I believe, is fairly factual here. So, you know, everybody is taking sides with this, but what I read was what we were told by these people, and this is all factual as far as we know. So we're trying to figure something out to try to...
What are you trying to do, Joe?
Cleave this whole yes and no voter thing so people aren't speaking to each other, that the town should still be safe and we should try to figure out a way around this as opposed to making it fester even more. So we were on a fact-finding commission, and that's what we got was facts from all these folks. Do you see anything on there that's wrong?
Yes. I see a lot of things on there that are wrong. I see statements on there that say we don't have the certifications, which we have.
Then why did they tell us we don't? Why would the county fire marshal tell us we don't?
Because it doesn't go to the county fire marshal. It goes to GIF.
But he gathered all the information before.
From whom?
We knew we were coming.
From Ed Miller, who wrote the same letter last year that said these guys don't have any of this.
So you're saying that these professionals that we spoke with are, you know, better than them, basically, and everybody in this room knows better than the fire marshals?
Oh, come on, Joe. No, I'm saying that I had a two-hour conversation with Kevin Stout. I'm saying that I know the people at Monroe, and I spoke to them. I know that I know Dave Markunas, and I've had at least 8 meetings with him. Okay? I know the people at GIF. We work with the GIF people on a constant basis. Yes, it is true that we are not currently on the backup list. Why are we not currently on the backup list? Because for the last 8 months, one, we haven't had any firefighters, and two, to the extent we had firefighters, we had a whole series of PIOSH issues that we've been trying to get abated.
So I just signed $7,000 worth of bills for pump repairs and things on the truck, so this is...
Yeah, because we brought in 18 people, and we're getting the
so
stuff
just
back
this past month or two, then these repairs were done. And
I don't know when those repairs were done. It could have been done when the last fire chief ran the fire truck into the side of the building. It could have been done because we have pump repairs that have to be done because the trucks were left outside because there was no place to put them. That is another pump repair that was done. So we have to maintain these trucks, but the cost of maintaining these trucks is one.
Why did we accept these trucks before we had a place to put them?
Well,
I know this is before me. This is all before me.
Two of these trucks we already had. Okay? They accepted another truck, and you can certainly go back in the record, and you will see at meetings where they suggested buying this truck, and I said I thought it was a bad idea. Okay? But the company bought the truck. The town didn't buy the truck. The company.
So the company bought the truck, and then the town decided that a couple of hundred thousand dollars.
Where do you come up with $571,000?
You need a place to put. You need a place to put the truck.
No, no, no. Your timeline is way out of whack. Okay. 2 years ago, we went out and we looked in the building next door, in the first aid building, and we looked at this building, and we started costing out what it would cost to repair those buildings, to bring them under the new regulations.
I saw Bert's rendition. It was very good.
Let me answer. Okay, with the ventilation.
I can tell you why.
Okay,
no,
good.
Not now.
Good.
Not now.
Okay.
We looked at the ventilation issues. We looked at the wash issues. We looked at the equipment issues. And in the process of doing that, we determined, and it was me and Tom Curry standing out in the parking lot originally, and realized that the amount was coming up to the point where it might be cheaper. Somebody said, hey, why don't you just build a pole building? We examined the possibility of getting a pole building. We brought it to the engineer. We checked to make sure that it could meet our fire requirements to build a pole building, and that was where this started. At a later date, Wall came in and said, we have an excess truck. Said to the fire company, we have an excess truck. Would you like it? We'd like $25,000 or $26,000 for it. There was a conversation at the council. I said, I don't think it's a good idea. And the reason I didn't think it was a good idea was because you bring it in now, and everybody's going to say, oh, you're getting more trucks. Well, they got it anyway. Okay? So now we had four trucks. We just sold one. We have to sell another one, so we're back down to two trucks.
So the council, you and the council, allowed for a truck to come in with no place to park it.
We don't allow it. The fire company bought a fire truck. We thought it was a good idea to keep it here with the rest of our fire trucks.
Did the council insure it?
The council insures it. We insure all the trucks. As a matter of fact, the way we do that is we go to a facility that GIF operates or approves of every year, get a certification, and they insure it. So when I read a report that says, gosh, none of the trucks have been certified by GIF, I immediately ask, gosh, did anybody talk to GIF? Does anybody want to see the certifications? Because they're available.
So you're telling me that that the clerk can go into the office now and pull out a personnel file for everybody here that's in the fire department?
Personnel files are in the fire department files, and they are elsewhere.
Shouldn't we have here at this office also?
They are recommendations. They are not requirements, but we can certainly take care of. I hear you. We can certainly move the files around.
You can have copies of them, which is what Kevin Stout did himself. Went in his office, pulled out the files on them.
I had a long conversation with Kevin.
We know
what the requirements are.
We know you called him.
Of course you did. I wasn't secret about it.
How do you justify the difference in the numbers? We had three different Millstone, Monroe, and Monmouth County Fire Marshal tell us that it will cost so much more than $571,000 that that's not even
enough. It sounds like, Jeff, that if... Let me say this.
Sure.
If we're going to go in the direction of getting a firehouse, should we not have all of the information possible to make sure that we have every dollar accounted for that's going to go into this firehouse before we just do it?
I have no problem with having every dollar accounted for.
Okay,
what
now
I do have a problem with is ignoring all of the work that's been done to date, all of the research, all of the work that's been done with GIF. Okay? Dave Markunis did not come in and tell you it's going to cost us $2 million. I guarantee you that.
His firehouse cost $5 million.
His firehouse? Mm-hmm. His firehouse is going to cost a hell of a lot more than $5 million. And you know what they pay for a truck? They pay between $800,000. No, $800,000.
It depends on the truck.
And $1.3 million.
The latter truck's about $800 or so.
For
yeah.
a truck.
For a truck,
okay?
Yes.
Okay. We get our trucks for free. We always have. Okay? And a steel pole building, they're right. A steel pole building is not a real firehouse.
Right.
We're not building a Taj Mahal. We're building a basic steel pole building for the fire truck.
So as such, shouldn't we know what it would take to make a firehouse out of it? I'm not saying we shouldn't have a firehouse. I'm just saying, shouldn't we know what it cost?
We have engineers who looked at it. We have architects who looked at it. You're going back 2 years and saying, okay, I want to do an investigation of everything that was done over the last 2 years.
No, I'm not. I'm saying, okay, $571,000 for a pole barn. Okay. What more goes into it to make it a firehouse?
The $571,000 includes...
You can't give me all of this right now. I understand.
Why not? We've gone through it. You can go online. Go to RooseveltNJ.org. Okay? Go to...
How much is the epoxy paint on the floor going to cost?
Go to Records and Minutes. Okay? Look up the Emergency Services Advisory Board. And you will find under there all of the documents, all of the records, all of the transcripts.
I also find in there April's report of the needs of the Roosevelt Fire Department. And if you were to break that down, this is 2016, break all of that down and put a final figure on that, how much would that be?
She had a wish list. I don't remember what was on that list.
It's not a wish list. It's the needs list.
I don't.
It's a fire department needs list. It's on the website that you just talked about there.
Yes, it is. And amazingly, I have not memorized every document on that website.
Neither have I.
Okay. So
they also said in this climate, it's just irresponsible for a town of our size. We had an average of 24 calls a year to build such an expensive entity that they're encouraging shared services, mutual aid, contracting out to other towns, that it doesn't make any sense for a town this size and the tiny amount of calls that we have to have our own brand new fire department.
So we're on the one hand complaining because we don't provide mutual aid to other towns, and on
no,
the other
I'm
hand...
Nobody's complaining.
No,
they're just saying that we
I'm
are not available for that.
No,
okay. No, we weren't. We
Michael,
haven't been.
Do you want to add anything? I mean, you were at these meetings with us.
There is no mutual aid if we don't have a fire company. Let's get that straight, because people keep saying that we can rely on mutual aid.
I'm only talking about the different suggestions they had.
Okay. And just to be clear, that was precisely the question that was asked. It was asked of the voters. Okay? You can, yes, there was the no option, which was wait until we get defined by PIOSH. But you have the option of a four-bay, a two-bay. The two-bay is this cost plus the fees that you would have to pay to Millstone.
That's
so
the basic,
now,
basic
now
full barn
difference.
With a bathroom.
Right, that's
you're, now, you're now coming back and saying, okay, so I want to revote that. That's really what you're saying.
No, I'm saying what is it going to cost beyond $571,000 to have a proper firehouse?
$16,000 a year for the past 20 years. You want a fact? You can look up those budgets. We keep budgets forever.
So
we have paid up to, with the exception of 1 year, where we paid $20,000 or $28,000 because they were coming back up to speed. We have, for $16,000 a year or less, we have supported our fire company, which, by the way, raises money on its own, which it then uses to buy that equipment, which we don't buy.
We're not saying anything that you're saying is wrong here. We're just saying how much will it cost beyond $571,000 to have a proper firehouse and make sure that all of the certifications on all of the equipment and all the personnel are proper?
And why are your numbers so far different from the experienced professional people that we spoke to?
Because ask them what a firehouse costs. Okay?
They're talking
That's
millions.
Your example.
Like you said, a couple of million.
$2 to $3 million. Okay.
So
I will find you. I will find you hundreds of firehouses that cost $2 million to $30 million. They're made of brick. They have sleeping quarters. They have kitchens. They are. We can go to any one of a number of towns. Hightstown's building one. Anyone know how much Hightstown is paying for their new firehouse? I think they're building one.
So I'm just saying, Jeff. Can I mean, is there a plan, or is this just we're going to put up a pole barn and we're going to park trucks in it and we're going to have a firehouse?
No, we had the engineering.
You had said that you were ready to sign with Millstone if that's how the people voted.
Yes.
So now that we have all this new information,
none of it's new. That's the problem. Well, none of it is new. You're coming up with no. You're coming up with
Michael. Did we not meet with professional people?
Okay.
We met with professionals. The question to ask them now would be based on having, since it now has a subsequent conversation with Jeff, are they still saying the same things they told us when they met with us? That
know.
Might be something to find out.
I haven't spoken with Kevin, but Jim is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk with Kevin again and see if
he's having the same.
If he has new.
He agrees with
what
he's
sticking
to his guns
here,
right.
Therefore, he gives us a different. Okay. Different recommendations than he did before. He was very clear on what he thought.
Yes, all of these guys were very clear. So that's why I'd like to have a town meeting and have these guys come and answer questions to the town, because I'm just like you're saying. I just hear what they say and I write it down.
So, Joe, let me ask you a question.
Sir.
Okay, this question. So you have a town hall meeting. Mm-hmm. Everybody comes, okay? And you say, I think we ought to go with Millstone or Munger.
I'm not saying anything. I'm saying here are the facts. Here's what we were told when we went in
to ask questions.
What
then happens? See, this is the problem. What then happens? You have the meeting, okay? You say, you know what? Everything you heard before is just bull. It's a lie. And we have. Look, you know, for 18 months, whatever, I've been getting this crap about how we could negotiate a better deal with Millstone, et cetera.
Maybe the town could make up its mind.
So everybody goes, and they hear your speech, okay, or the speeches or the information, and they say, okay, now what? We still have a meeting. We have a vote on March 14th, okay? What is the alternative you're suggesting? What do we do with our first aid and fire? What do we do with them?
Right now we're just talking about fire. And beyond that,
we'll
deal
with
first aid.
You can't just talk about
we'll deal with first
aid
then.
Monroe has 24-hour paid first aid, or we can opt to.
So we
want to
pay.
Have our building.
We want to pay Millstone or somebody
well,
else to provide us first aid.
Applegarth met and came up with a number.
Not for first aid, they didn't.
No, that's what I'm. But we
okay.
could.
So you still have to build a building.
We can either contract to Monroe, yes, or rehab our building.
We can't rehab our building. We've been to this 12 times.
They also had serious questions about our OEM.
Can I be recognized by the chair just briefly to try to...
Oh, please.
To try to get us out of this jam that we're in. I can see the way that this is going. We're going to have, you know, people who disagree about what the facts are and... That's happening a lot locally and also nationally, too. But I recommend that we think about hiring some outside expert to perform an independent needs assessment and evaluation. Somebody who's not on one side, who's not on the yes side, not on the no side, that can kind of sort through all of these facts. And we have gotten a lot of facts. You've done a lot of work, and we've done a lot of work gathering the facts from all different areas. And right now, they're swirling around in my head because who knows what, you know, is what with that. But I think we really could use somebody, and I don't know, like we had Harry Carter, who's an expert. Well,
because Harry Carter.
Can I just finish my statement?
Joke.
I'm just suggesting that we step out of it by having somebody who's not on one side or the other and who can really do a needs assessment and some sort of evaluation of what we have, what our assets are. I think we have a lot of assets. We have a lot of good things going on in town. A lot of volunteers.
Hey, guys. Mr. Ellentuck, Ms. Bronco.
No, I was telling them to talk
softer.
Okay.
Didn't work.
No, we have a lot of things going for us, and but I think we need to kind of sort it out and have some help with that. And I think we really need a needs assessment, some way to kind of evaluate things and have some third party who we pay to do that. It makes sense to me. It's just an idea. I'm trying to figure out a way that we can get out of this.
Well, we there is a way, actually. In 30 days...
But, you know, that's my motive for that.
Thank you. In 30 days, we have a vote. Yeah. Okay? At the end of the day, the vote is either going to say yes, go ahead, or it's going to say no. If it says no, we'll start exploring other options.
Well,
right now we have an option on the table.
The problem is you can have a $571,000 empty poll building because this council needs 4 affirmative votes to pass bonds. 4 affirmative council votes.
We do not need 4 affirmative votes
to pass a bond.
For the existing bonds exist.
No, to pass any additional bonds, should you need a $600,000 pumper, should you need...
We have not paid. See, this is where
it gets more. I wasn't trying to argue. I was just trying to say that maybe we could step out of it by getting some external group to take a look at it.
That's the problem. Okay, Mike. I don't want to get into that. But when people say they don't want to argue and start talking about $600,000 fire trucks, you have to admit it's a little frustrating.
Well,
since we just talked about the fact that we haven't paid for one since. But we do have an election coming up. Let's do the election. We'll see where it goes. And then we'll figure it out if we need.
How can we have a town hall meeting before the bond?
You can call whatever you want to call.
Just call it.
I've called too. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's going to be anybody in town can call a town hall meeting.
Does it have to be publicized 10 days?
Not if it's not a council meeting, no.
Okay. So can I?
But we can't all go to it.
If it's a public meeting? Can
we
all
go
to it?
Well, if you want us to attend, then you have to call a public meeting.
Yeah, that would certainly be the safest way to do it. If a majority of the council is going to attend, you would have to notice it as a public meeting.
I think I would like to attend.
I personally am not so sure. It's like Groundhog Day.
Did you call advertise? Did you advertise them in the Times and the press when you had the few at the school?
You know, I don't remember. On the other hand, I didn't have any council people there, so.
Well, I think Jill was there.
I was there.
Yes.
And Jill was there, so you did.
I went to one of them.
So there's 3.
There you go.
So half the council.
If we went to the same one, there were 2 sessions.
Well, I'm saying, but half the council was there.
No. Mm-hmm. No, two maximum of 2 were there at any given time.
So can you help me here? If I wanted to have a town hall meeting, say at the school, with the schedule that we have now before the bond, what dates would be available to me?
We have to check.
Well, no, I'm saying with all the public noticing and stuff like that, what run of dates could I get?
Yeah, you actually need 12 days because you need... It takes 2 days to get the notification, or is it 7 days?
No.
10 or 7.
No, a council meeting is 48 hours. Yeah. It's 48 hours, but you have to get it into the... You should get it into the paper in such a time frame that they can publish it 48 hours in advance. So that usually that's more like 4 or 5 days. But 7 days, you're thinking of ordinances. You're thinking of... That's the time frame for an ordinance. Okay.
So if tonight I said... if I picked... the last 2 weeks before the bond and said I would like to have a public meeting with the safety council. I know, but I need to ask the school to figure out which one of those 2 weeks. Okay. So I'd like to do that.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay. I'd like to ask the council to approve.
No. You have to go. You have to find a date that works with the school.
I'm asking for 2 weeks, and out of
that
2 weeks.
We need...
It doesn't have anything to do with the council, really. Just ask the school for, you know, a couple different
things. So I don't have to get any approval by the council?
Well, no, I think where you're going is that there may be the thought, or it may well just happen, that a majority of the council is going to show up.
Right.
In which case, the safest thing to do would be to advertise it. So I guess you can do it one of 2 ways logistically. Either you can get dates now, or you can get dates from the school and then come back. And
to the next council meeting.
You come back to the next council
which
meeting.
Which is 2 weeks before the bond.
Yeah. Or,
right.
Or before then.
Because Jeff didn't ask for council approval to have his town meetings. And
well, I don't know what happened in the past, but
you didn't I'm know. Just, well, you didn't know what council people would show up. It just showed up in our mailbox.
Well, I had a pretty good idea you wouldn't.
Well, it just showed up in our mailbox and said that, you know, I was to speak with absolutely no...
Rich, you understand what I'm trying to do. Logistically, I want to have a meeting with the town and get these guys to come in and to contradict what I said or agree with what I said, you know.
That, here's the problem, Joe. Completely different problem, okay? Mm-hmm. Is that I actually asked Mr. Stout to come. To come to one of our meetings.
So did I.
And his response was, politely, no.
Okay.
It's not quite how we put it, but no.
That's not what he told us.
So maybe he'll come if we ask.
He actually volunteered. We didn't even ask. He said, I'll come and speak.
Maybe he changed his mind.
He changed his mind when he realized what was going on. He has said no. Mr. Markounis, what?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Call him. Mr. Markounis has certainly been here, and he has offered to come back.
Okay, but I'm aside from all of that, I just want to know if we can do this. Do I have to confirm some dates tonight?
It has to be with the school.
I understand.
Joe, you need to find the dates that are available mm-hmm. at the school. Make sure that they are available to us, whoever's coming. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You can then come back and say, I want to have a meeting.
To the next council meeting.
You can come to the next council meeting. If there's otherwise an urgency, you could ask for a special meeting on 40 or 4 days' notice, which we could then meet to authorize whatever you needed authorized. But you have to come back with place and date. We can't do a blanket at some point in the last 2 weeks. There has to be a specific date and place. But I think everybody's quite willing to do that.
Okay. So worst case, I would have to ask for a special meeting. Otherwise, the next council meeting, if I came in with a place and date and said, I want this to happen, and the council votes on that?
Yes.
Yeah, for that would in fact be another special meeting where everyone would go to. It would be advertised that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, the mayor can call a special meeting or four members of the council may call a meeting.
Okay.
And as I've said, I have no problem calling a meeting.
Just give date. We'll try to find a date. And like I said, we were on a fact-finding mission. These are the facts that we found. If you're saying that you spoke with people that don't want to speak with us anymore after we've already spoken with
them? No, that is, Joe, please don't mischaracterize. What I said was I asked him to please attend a meeting with the town.
Mm-hmm.
He was very hesitant to do that. I never said he can't meet with you again. I never said anything about you.
Okay, so we can try to have at the next council meeting, I will try to have a date or two. Is it possible to get two dates and maybe only use one of them because we need to make sure everybody will be available?
We'd have to give notices for each meeting.
Yeah. Okay. When you had that series of special meetings, like 10 meetings in 2 weeks in December last year,
mm-hmm.
you put notices out for
absolutely.
All of
those? Every. Actually, I made a notice for every day, and we just canceled them. They were in the newspaper.
So
they were, yes.
So I could do that also. I could make a meeting for every day and then just cancel them.
Well, no, we would have to make a meeting for every day.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're going to get everybody to agree to set up a meeting for every day between now and March 14th.
Might I suggest we could have a meeting for next Monday?
Say again?
Have a meeting next Monday, by which time?
It's a holiday next Monday.
No, okay, then next mm-hmm. Tuesday.
And Tuesday's planning board.
Let him come back with it's not
right.
Fairly simple to come back with the date and the place, and we'll
a problem
do the proper
for next
notices.
Wednesday.
I think
well
I'm going to be out of
to
town
school
Tuesday.
Facilities use or here or right. However you wherever you want to do it.
Okay,
you
know? Once I found a school date,
by Wednesday,
dates right. that these gentlemen might be available, could I call in
please
and say I'd like to have a special meeting?
Please get a range of. You know what? I'll make it easier. Kelly.
Yes.
Could you please call the school tomorrow, find out what dates they have available?
Yes, I can.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll come back with a series of dates. You can figure out which ones work for you.
Okay.
Get them from the school.
Then we need a special meeting to try to push for those dates.
Well, we have a special meeting or a regular meeting. At some meeting, we have to vote to have that meeting.
Okay.
I still don't understand why we didn't have to do that when you had your meetings, because you did not know in advance if council people would be there or not.
I don't remember whether or not I did a notice, but I will check.
No, you didn't.
You didn't even know the meeting was happening, but you, never mind.
No, I'm
okay.
Saying when we got the notices in our mailbox. Okay, but the council never, it wasn't discussed with the council. We just went to the
mayor. The mayor can always call a meeting.
So then why can't the committee chair call
everybody
a meeting?
Because the law,
for council members.
We rely on the law, and the law says meetings can be called by the mayor or a majority of the council.
Of the governing body.
Of the governing body. So those are the rules under which we work. Okay. Old business. So old business. New business. Parking signs. So in the last snowstorm, we went to get salt at the sewer plant, and there was a hunter's truck parked directly in front of the salt pile. Which is a big problem.
I've talked to hunters there all the time and said, you got to get out of here because it's our salt.
Yeah. There's no parking signs.
No, I know.
So I think we should discuss or consider putting them in.
Please.
We can do it at the next meeting, but I wanted everybody to give a heads up. We also have some roads that do not have signs that say no parking this road when
snow covered. Yeah.
Which we should do because we are going to start towing because we have to.
Do people know that we have ordinances on the books that say that you have to get your cars off the street?
We have signs. We put up Facebook every time it's snowing. Please move your garbage cans in your cars. Don't touch the electrical lines, all that stuff.
Good.
Do most people comply?
Yeah, actually. The vast majority of people comply.
Are we going to put no parking signs everywhere that the ordinance is required? For example, the street right in front of this building here, from Homestead Lane down to Oscar Drive, is a no parking area by ordinance.
Well, let's make a list.
We should do that.
There's also been a request numerous times to put one by the synagogue. There used to be signs there. The problem that happens is that there is at least one car that always parks at the end of the driveway there. Which I've never quite understood. They pull out of their driveway and pull in front of that parking, that sidewalk. And the problem is that Mr. Chassan and Gail Hunton and her husband, Wes, cannot get out because as they come out, that car is right behind them.
Right. The problem there is that there's no ordinance. Those signs were up, but there was never any ordinance behind them. So if we want to prohibit that, we have to have an ordinance to say that.
So let's put it on the agenda.
Yeah. No parking.
Look at it.
By the way, I don't think it has to. I'm sorry.
Should that be run through committee? Or you want to? What committee though?
Environmental health and
works or administration?
Safety, health and safety.
Health and safety are probably. Yeah. Also, it doesn't have to be in front of the whole thing. It's just like, I don't know, like 40 feet on either side of that, just so the cars can get out.
It's just on the boundaries of the sidewalk, right there.
Yeah. Or just put up a sign that says it's Yom Kippur in the old days.
And while I'd like to solve all of the parking problems in Roosevelt, I would like to get a no parking sign up in front of our salt before the next snowstorm. So can we expedite that one?
Yeah. And I don't think that is that already a no parking zone?
It's on the sewer plant property. So
it's on the circle.
It's on the circle.
The circle's not a street. It's parking on a... It's on utility property there.
Okay, so
there's
let's
no
get
authorization. There probably should be a sign saying no parking on utility property.
No,
one authorized vehicles on utility property.
Okay, so why don't we get the signs? We can bill it to utilities. It should be in that budget.
Okay.
Can't be that much if we can get them put up. I'm sorry? Might have one? All right. Let's get more. More. Okay. Before we get into the approvals of the property, just to let everybody know that the state has notified us that they're doing what's called prescribed burning in the Aspen Pink, which means that from time to time they're going to light fires, which they do in the winter to get rid of the underbrush to limit the potential forest fires. So if you see smoke coming out of the Aspen Pink or a fire, it's probably okay. If you don't see any ranger anywhere near it or a firefighter, you might want to call it in.
Last year they did it on sides of Eleanor Lane on the way up to the cemetery, and that was disconcerting. So yeah. It's nice to know this stuff. So.
Yeah, and they may do it. They could do it along there. They could do it on the way out of town.
There should maybe, for people that don't show up here, be a notice on the bulletin board or something. You know, so
we have a press release, and we can put it on the bulletin board. Okay.
Then we have requests for approvals. So in order to rent a house, here's the DEP notice. In order to rent out a house in Roosevelt, you have to complete your application for a license to rent. We have three applications. There are, one of them is different than the other, so let's go with numbers two and three here, which is 33 Homestead and 6 Farm Lane. The zoning officer has given us a letter in which he suggests that we make all of those, all rentals, subject to payment of all taxes. I'm looking for the form, sorry.
Just taxes, water, and sewer liens.
Thank you.
Actually, the letter, the one letter we have here has to do with one of the properties, though I think generally.
We have to apply it to all of them.
I'm sorry?
I think we have to apply it to all of them.
Yeah, I think, generally, that all certificate of occupancy requirements have to be complied with, that they should be, all monies paid due to the borough should have to be paid, that the there's an ongoing obligation to comply with all municipal ordinances, the housing and zoning officer should have access as necessary to ensure compliance. I think those are essentially the conditions that it boils down to.
So do we want to have a motion to approve the ones marked 2 and 3 subject to those conditions?
Before you do that, Mayor, I'm looking at the application for the number 3, and there's a portion on the application that's completed by the zoning officer says with checks on various blocks, responsive to certain questions, and it says code violation cited, yes, all violations abated, no. And if I recall your ordinance correctly, a precondition to having a rental license is that you don't have any code violations.
Right.
So on its face, it doesn't seem to meet the ordinance. I mean, that's the way I recall the ordinance. I guess we can get it out of the back, but that's the way I recall it.
No, but since we just talked about the letter, which would, in effect, do exactly what the ordinance that you're citing would do, yeah, we're still in the same place.
Yeah.
Right, if we make it pending subject to the law. So, yeah, okay. All right. So we want to put these off until the next meeting.
Well, I don't know. That doesn't seem to apply to number two. Number two, if I recall correctly.
The former B&B.
Yeah, it says code violation cited, no, and all violations abated, yes. So on its face, there doesn't seem to be anything that precludes you from going forward with number two.
So we would want to prove number two with the conditions set forth in the zoning officer's letter, right, which are fairly self-evident.
Do we have a copy of the zoning board officer's letters addressed to the owners of number one and number three? I just see a letter addressed to the owner of number two.
This is to mayor and council. All outstanding tax water and sewer liens to be paid. That's actually to us.
Yeah, some of these things aren't in the ordinance. Some are. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to make a, I don't know how you make them a condition if they're not in the ordinance. They're not even implicit in the ordinance.
But they have to be things that are implicit in the ordinance. Yeah.
Well, then we're going to have to change the ordinance because he's really talking about the ability to confirm that they're complying with the 30-day rule, et cetera, and it's not an Airbnb. So I think maybe we need to go back. He needs to table this.
I guess so. I mean, on its face, I don't see. It seems like number two is compliant with the ordinance, if I remember the ordinance correctly. Kelly's the code book back there. So I didn't bring it. I'll get it. Where is it?
Yeah, number. Wrenches are a problem with number
number two at all?
Number two is the one where it says they're all violations. Violations, number two, he says, code violations cited, yes. All violations abated, no. That's number two.
No, that's number three.
No, number two is...
Number two didn't have any of it.
Number three, I'm sorry. Number three,
says, date of inspection, 2-8.
The second of the list of... The second of the list of properties.
Well, all right, so while we're getting the code, the more problematic one is number four.
Yes.
Number four.
Can we vote on number two and get that out of the way?
No, let's go to four because they're going to be dealing with this for a little while.
They're getting the paperwork for four? Or?
No, they're getting the book to read the ordinance to determine if what he wants is in the ordinance and whether or not we have to change the ordinance.
Can we do the public portion and then you do that?
we still have a closed session. I'm trying to move it along. So let's just talk about number four for a second. Okay? Number four is the apartment on top of the old deli. And
thank you.
The way that is currently set up is that all rentals are prohibited. It's a commercial property. No rentals are allowed at that property. There is a single waiver, and that waiver is, and I'm not using the correct legal terms, but I'll just explain it. That waiver is that a person who works in the deli can use that apartment.
And a relative to, if I can remember.
And a relative to.
Relative or employee.
A relative or employee can use that apartment. Mm-hmm. This is requesting the right to rent that property, which I think falls very far out of our current zoning.
Well, you wouldn't have jurisdiction to hear this. I mean, that if they're renting it to somebody other than somebody who works at the deli, which is an impossibility.
Right.
Or a relative, you don't have.
You don't have the authority.
You don't have the authority. It's got to go to the
planning board.
It would be useful if Mr. McGrath, he's not here, but what he had told me was that the person who would be renting would be the person, somebody who would be working, who was intended to be working in the deli. So maybe we need their confirmation from somebody that's.
What is that code? Is that what you're looking for now?
Permissive.
Yes.
Call him, perhaps.
It's
9:00. It's 9:00.
No,
it's
look.
So, okay, don't call.
There is no motion. We don't have to table it. It's under new business. We can go through because I'm sure it's going to take more than a phone call to figure out who's doing what and whether or not we can apply the standard.
I believe you knew the answer, but okay.
So I don't think you can do anything with four.
How do you mean?
Well, number four could only be, you could only give a license for number four if the planning board were to vote to make a waiver of the condition they put on the variance. They passed a variance back in the 1980s, if I remember correctly, saying that it can be used as a rental, but only if it's an employee or a relative
of the owner.
Okay. So that you don't have authority or jurisdiction, the council doesn't, to approve any application at this time, unless it's one of those two categories. And if it's not those two categories, they have to get a waiver from the planning board.
How did we know that the person that wants to rent it is not a relative or employee? We were told that?
No.
We don't know.
He had told me, again, he's not here, so you know, so he can't put it on the record. But my understanding, based on what he had told me, was that there was somebody who was somebody who was intended to work in the business that is going into the store. So this was all tied to the occupancy of the use of the deli as a store. So that, you know.
Do they want to move in now? Because is that the problem? Because there's no deli.
Right. I understand that, but that's why it would be useful, you know, to hear that he could make it clear for the record what the timeline is.
I'd like to postpone any action on this for 2 weeks until our next meeting.
Right. Yeah, so until he's here to fill us in
on
the facts.
Is that a motion to table?
Except you said that it's not even our motion.
unless it's somebody who's working there, but
right.
You know,
they were working on it the other day.
Right,
so
to
yeah.
McGrath to be
yeah.
Why
yeah,
did they make it
the
so nobody could rent unless they worked or were a relative? Was there a reason for that?
I'm sure there was back in 1985 or whatever it was, but I don't. And I'm sure 80 was it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's people here that could tell you, but I don't know.
Gentlemen, can we?
Somebody needs approval.
Ladies and gentlemen, can we please put this off to next week so the public can speak, and we still have a closed session
yes.
to do.
Yeah. The I'm sorry if I could just, and I'm sorry.
Don't have enough.
10-3.5, the mayor and council may deny the issuance of a license, and it's talking about the residential rental property license upon a finding that the owner has failed to abate code violations cited by the housing inspector and to maintain the property in a manner conducive to the health, safety, and welfare of the residents
That's
of the property and to the community. You know, that would go to number three. But as to number two, the zoning officer didn't note any violation.
Okay, I'm now moving to public comment period.
A deer enclosure.
Deer enclosure.
Sorry, I don't know anything about deer enclosure.
Exclosure.
I move we approve the deer enclosure to protect our wild azaleas on the woodland trail.
Here, here.
A second. Who seconded it?
Okay, any discussion at the table?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Protect those azaleas.
Please call the roll.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Lahoti?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Tamel?
Aye.
All right.
Well, there were two early.
Now I think I'm in there. Okay. Public comment to anybody in Mr. Allentuck. Please, when your name is called, please come to the podium. Tell us who you are and your address. That will make it much easier for our poor clerks to try to transcribe some of this. I did. Because your hand shot up first.
Kurt Allentuck, 22 Homestead Lane. Before I get into reading your questions, about three meetings ago, Councilman Malkin requested that she meet with the members of the fire company for discussions. Was that meeting held?
Actually, I asked that they come here and introduce themselves so we could put names to the faces, and that did occur.
That did happen with you. Was there anything else happening at that meeting?
It wasn't a meeting. I asked if they come to the next council meeting so we could just meet them.
Yeah.
Okay. And this request for a meeting with the lawyer, did that take place?
Lawyer?
I didn't know that there was a request.
I heard discussion that you wanted to discuss with the law firm their fees.
Oh, you're right. But that did not take place.
That did not. Do you intend to have that take place?
Yes.
And you will report on it when it happens. Okay.
Yes.
Now to other things. Mr. Trammell.
Sir.
Read a report. Mm-hmm. First part of that report was the list of requirements for the fire company.
Mm-hmm.
He did not, by innuendo, put it that way, by innuendo, he implied that the things that were required were not in place.
Mr. Allentucker, would you talk to me?
Yeah, okay. The things that were required were not in place. And the rest of his discussion on that report was to say that those things were not in place. He said that by referring back to the things he talked about and by referring to comments that had been made to the people at that meeting by some person unknown who gave him a set of facts to discuss. As far as I can tell from your report, no effort was made to confirm that information from the unknown source by going to a knowing source. That is, they said fire company did not have this, that, and the other thing. You did not talk to the fire company about it.
You can ask. It's your choice. Yeah.
I nowhere in this report denies that any of that.
But by
innuendo, I was just stating the facts that
you
we were told
by innuendo. And by the following following conversations that you had, you were referring to those putative facts as actualities, in spite of the fact that you had not gone to verify them by yourself. The other thing I'd like to know is, was that meeting recorded? Is there a record of that meeting that was prepared by somebody in the office where you had the meeting?
Which meeting, sir?
The one you had. The one you just discussed.
We had three.
You
we
what?
Had three. We had three meetings.
All right. Every meeting.
I saw a tape recorder at the third meeting. I might have seen one at the first meeting. I know they had the thing on the table there.
Can we get a copy of that tape recording, or can those persons who were present at that meeting, not part of this council, record the meeting, prepare a record of the meeting as they recall it?
You should be able to get a copy of any tapes that were created through an OPA request.
Well, how do we file it?
Also, sir, I have my report written up here.
I,
you'd like
I
to
heard
read
your report, Joe.
And this way you could see
I heard your report.
Okay.
I
so
stated anything.
You would file an OPA request here for any copies that our council or others would have, and you can then file a request with Millstone, the county, and it's all pretty much the same form.
Peggy.
I'm only saying I don't think they were taped. That's all I'm telling you.
Okay.
I don't think they were taped.
So there is no, so far as you know, there is no accurate record of what transpired at that meeting.
They may have been taped for all we know.
Yeah, not sure.
Okay. We'll have to get
but
an open request and see.
Yes.
I'd like to hear it.
Yeah.
On another topic that Mr. Hamilton and Ms. Malkin were elected as Democratic committee people. My understanding of that position is that you are to support Democratic candidates for office. In spite of that fact, you did not support the Democratic candidate for office. In fact, you supported somebody else. You supported Mr. Trumbull. I think
Mr.
that
was... Mr. Trumbull was not a Democratic candidate.
I know he wasn't. Exactly. Exactly my point. I believe that that was not only a dereliction of duty. I believe it was immoral. Absolutely immoral.
Please speak to me.
It was immoral. And because of that, I wouldn't support you to be a garbage collector.
Oh, it's your choice.
Yes. You, Asanka? There are other people raising their hands, but you had asked us to do this so that you could, you inferred you wanted to need to get out? Oh, okay. Sam? Sam? No, I just want to make sure you could make whatever you were. I thought you were trying to get through anything.
Sam Lopez, 7 Homestead Lane. I do appreciate the fact that, you know, steps were actually taken rather than just saying that they were going to be taken like previous meetings to see other options. But after listening to the report that was made, I think we should be aware of what we consider facts. A couple of things in that statement were untrue. And why would those be read if it wasn't to discredit the fire department? To look at other fire departments and go around the 5 mile And I forget the exact report, if you would remind me, the other fire departments that you looked at, besides Millstone?
Applegirth.
Monroe. Yeah, besides District, Monroe? District 2, Monroe.
Mm-hmm. But you mentioned a couple other ones as well.
Millstone and Monroe.
So Monroe. Long Branch.
No, there was more.
No, but we only met with Millstone and Monroe.
So why would those companies be mentioned in there?
No,
we discussed
what it was like for other towns to do shared service agreements. Okay, and actually, Jeff was speaking of that through the course of this past year or so. Okay.
And now I would consider you guys would look at viable options to come into the town. Now, Monroe, in case of a natural disaster, if we block off 571, how long is it going to take for them to get to us then?
They told us they get here generally about a minute to a minute and a half after Millstone.
What was their response time, they said?
6 minutes.
Takes 6 minutes for them to drive here.
Well, not according to them.
All right, so then now we're talking about people getting on the trucks. And emergency services, speed is everything. Speed is everything. Now, we have a 5-mile border where we could be in. They are on the border of that. Why would you consider something on the border when lives are at stake? It makes no sense. It honestly makes no sense whatsoever.
They're 24/7 also.
And they told us that they come, they help, they aid Millstone. They're here all the time anyway.
In Roosevelt?
They come to Roosevelt.
When was the last time they were in Roosevelt?
I didn't ask them.
Because I haven't seen them.
Sam, can I just say something?
Of course.
And you can believe me or not believe me, but this is the truth. When we schedule these meetings with the fire marshal of Monmouth County and with Monroe and Millstone, we did not go there asking them to prove or confirm for us that we shouldn't have our own fire department. Not at all. We went there simply to find out how you do run a fire department correctly. Mm-hmm. We just had lots of questions about things we knew nothing about. Mm-hmm. We in no way went there expecting them to tell us that they did not think it was a good idea for us to build a fire department and firehouse here. That is not what happened. That's not why. That was not the purpose of our visits. Mm-hmm. It was strictly fact finding to see, in other words, the information about, all the credentials that you need and all the paperwork. We were very surprised when they had most of the facts at their fingertips.
Not facts. Careful what you call facts.
Well, when the county fire marshal gives us the county sheet of the calls, I consider that a fact.
Okay.
But
I'm almost done.
So when they told us
so
all
in
this,
the fact
we weren't asking for that, we weren't expecting that.
When they told you we had four firefighters.
Jeff said that. That's not what they said to us.
Okay.
He said that. They showed
so
us.
So if they think that we have four firefighters.
They didn't say that to us.
They didn't say that to you. Okay.
Never.
But why weren't we approached as the Roosevelt Fire Company? And ask any of these questions about our certs, about anything like that. Why aren't we asked?
The same reason.
And
sir, I did call in to Dan and ask him to come to Millstone with us, and I did put a call in to Chris Zook many times. No one ever got before I called you. I called Chris.
Okay. Call my wife. Yeah.
I left a message on your home machine.
That's my wife's home.
I'm sorry. I left a message. I did reach out, Sam. Okay.
There's plenty of us to meet with. It's obvious, and as much as you could backpedal, as much as you want, it is obvious you are trying to discredit the Roosevelt Fire Company. And by not checking your facts and coming, and honestly, quite frankly, it makes you look uneducated. By not checking your facts and just rewinding, going in circles, it's foolish.
Do you believe the mayor when he tells you things?
I fact check everything.
He's the mayor. We went to the top professionals. They gave us county information. Right. It's not something they made up. We didn't bring them any information.
He said Millstone responded to 100% of the calls.
Right. No, they had lists of everything. We didn't go there saying, these are our firefighters. They had all the information there prior to our arrival.
I would point out they got from Mr. Miller. I would suggest, if I can, just for 1 second, go on the website, go to the records of the Emergency Services Commission, look for Mr. Miller's letter, and look for the fire department's response from last year.
We've seen that also, but we went and found from 911 Sheriff's Office log and
all of this, and we have the list of all of the responses from Millstone and from Roosevelt. So
I'm not talking about responses, I'm talking about certifications. Did you read the Miller letter?
I understand from Kevin Stout what the certifications are supposed to be. Those are the ones that we listed.
Okay. I simply asked if you would kindly read the letter.
I've read Ed's letter, so I'm responding to what I wrote and to what Sam is saying. What we did was went out and gathered information, factually as we know it, from people who apparently...
That factual word, you should just stop using it. It's not true.
They're not facts.
And so, and then on top of that, why in that report was it mentioned that we need a $300,000 vehicle on top of the building?
Does not say that we need one. It says that a new vehicle would cost at least this much.
So why was that put in? Why was that put in?
And it also said that we do not know what it would cost to rehabilitate an older vehicle.
You could backpedal all you want here, but it's...
Sir, I'm not backpedaling. I'm just saying that a new one costs this much and an old one would cost this much to rehabilitate. And we now know that to have the pump redone on the engine costs like $6,000-$7,000.
Thank you.
Okay, so let me just finish what I'm saying there. So if it costs this much to get the pump replaced, mm-hmm. not replaced, but probably just a few gaskets or something mm-hmm. like that,
right?
It's like how much will it cost to really know what? How much would it cost to know what it would be like to make that engine completely certified?
The engine's already completely certified.
They're all certified.
So we. I'll say it again. Okay. He said it, and this is why it just. I'm sorry to say, it seems very uneducated. Your research. It says we go through this every meeting, and sometimes I'm curious to where certain council members are at when we have these meetings, because we repeat the same things every single meeting. It's we've been doing this for a while, from the first referendum, the second referendum. The same facts are being presented, not things trying to discredit the company. Now, if you came and you gave both sides and say, okay, all the Roosevelt firefighters have their certifications, but these are our other options, and weighed both sides, I could respect that a little bit more, but you're giving a one-sided argument in your report. That's why I'm saying you're discrediting the fire department. As much as you try to backpedal, you met with people that want to come in that aren't viable options in my source, and I don't need a response because I'm done. But thank you.
Dan, do you know that I left a message for you?
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry. Okay. John, some guy's been waiting. I'll let her go then. Thank you. And I apologize because I always mispronounce your last name, which is why I say Asanka. It's not out of disrespect.
Most people do. I think sometimes I mispronounce my last name. Asanka Oxlaw, 50 Pine Drive. I've been here before, obviously. So, you know, and I've made my opinions known. But especially after this national election, and I do feel like this is playing out this thing that we're living as a nation, you know, and here we are in Roosevelt that was supposed to be kind of the haven of alternative, not alternative facts, but alternative views and openness and so forth. And it's painful. I'm not blaming any one person in terms of, like, who's causing the pain at this point, but I feel like we can't replicate the Congress of the United States. And I think no matter what your opinions are about who's right and who's wrong in that battle, most people would say it's not a good functioning body right now, right? So I would entreat all of you to come up with a way that I know that you feel that, you know, we've had meetings before or, you know, and that all the facts are out. You've done some, your own work. And by the way, I just want to say this because I find it disturbing to just make a blanket statement that somebody who I know whose family, and it comes from a firefighting family, is trying to, for some odd reason, disparage the... I find that very...
Discredit.
I find that, like, hurtful to him as an individual. I know he has thick skin because he has to, because he's a council member. But I just want to say that I find it strange to cast aspersions like that at a person who spent his own personal money to, you know, look at other options for where we could build the firehouse. So I just want to put that out there. But that being said, you know, you might be right. I don't know. I don't have the records, okay? Or I'm sorry, I can't. I'm not supposed to talk. Anybody in this room, but I feel like you all need to come together and find a forum where we do have differing points of view without it becoming a political, because that's exactly what's happening on a national level. Every time somebody says something, they say, oh, that was politically motivated, right? Like, you can't believe anybody because it's politically motivated. Well, I feel like this is a really smart group of people here. If you can come together and agree on a way that we can get perhaps differing points of view, but be able to make some kind of educated decision when we vote, it would be great. It doesn't mean that you all have to agree on what it is, but you have to find a forum. And I don't think it should just be, you know, I mean, I think what you're doing is noteworthy, but I think it should be something that you're able, at the very least, to agree on what that would look like. So I'm just entreating the council and mayor to be able to do that as a governing body in order to serve the citizens so that they come to the polls with at least some body of knowledge that they feel is correct. Okay? So that's it.
Thank you. And it, since you were talking about an election, you reminded me there are notifications all over the place, but for those of you who don't know, the vote on the water sewer bond is on April 25th for the referendum on the water sewer bond. Okay, other people have their hands up. John, I think you were...
John Lennart, 5 Elm Court. Joe, I'm not going directly at you, sir. I have a couple questions. When you got elected...
Please ask them of me.
Sorry.
Is it okay if he can ask me?
Joe, you called my house. Yeah. You asked me certain questions. I was straight up front. I was honest with you.
Yes, you were.
How come then you never asked me about my certifications or asked me about the equipment on the telephone when I was kind enough to call you back?
You never asked
me.
Can I answer?
Yes, sir.
I didn't know what I needed to know to ask you at the time.
Okay, so... You knew to call my house for information then.
I called your father-in-law first.
I know, but then you called me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I answered.
Yeah.
If you needed certain information, why didn't you call me back?
That information, as far as I know, was supposed to be...
You know, the 3 years. I mean, you could have called me on that committee. I could have showed you my certs. And you always refer to them as professionals. You know, I have more certs than professionals do. So please don't refer to them as professionals.
They are.
That's very disrespectful.
I don't. It doesn't mean you both can't be professionals.
I know, but you never refer to us as professionals. So please, when you do that, don't refer to them as professionals, because I have more certifications than the professionals, and I would have been kind to give you my book and make everybody on the council copies. I didn't object to that. And Mike, you also said, well, gee, in 3 years, when the 571, that you already vote no. In 3 years, you're already voting no. The council's going to be gone. You need 4 votes. Thanks for your support. Really appreciate that. Because no matter what was said, you're still going to vote no. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, you made it clear. Mm-hmm. Crystal clear. To everybody. No matter what, you're going to spend $571,000. Anything after that, you're voting no.
You want an answer to
no,
that?
I don't. But you said it.
All right. Well,
we're all sitting in here. We heard you.
Fine, I'd like to answer, but...
No, I don't want... You know what? I'm tired of your answers. You could have came directly to us. The ladders are searched. The truck is searched. The pump is searched. My SCBA is searched. You forgot to ask me about my fit test. Yes, I'm certified. Did I put out the fire 2 weeks ago before Millstone got there? You damn right. I saved the house. I saved 6 chickens, 2 ducks, and 2 people. Is that on the record? That's what I did before Millstone got there. Thanks, Jake, for being there. Millstone came. They wanted to know my name. They didn't help me. Why didn't you call us off? That's the question my backup got. Because I only had 2 guys. I couldn't call them off. You want to know about mutual aid? I'll tell you. We can't go to mutual aid with 1 pumper. We go to mutual aid. Who's going to put out the chicken coop fire? Nobody. We don't have a truck. So those are your facts. Ask us. We'll tell you the facts. I'll give you the facts. I'll give you all you want. And guess what? I get a background check every year, dear. I'll get one every month if you want one. But you know what? You all need one, too. Your members, we pay for you. You should all get them. We all should have your driving license records also. What makes you different than us?
The law.
Nothing.
The law.
No. Well, we should have it where you submit your shit.
Of course I would.
Let's do a background check on you.
It wasn't so much that you had...
Man, you were hot on that. It was a hot item for you. Oh, background check, license.
Rummy.
There's nothing wrong with us.
Because we
with
will
us.
Be held responsible if something you know happens and we don't have
Do you
that.
Really care? We drive around with a truck. They can't hold water because it's going
to
freeze. And you really feel liable?
Liable.
I go to a fire in a brush truck that only holds two guys. You need four to go. You're liable. You are liable.
Okay.
You can't have one bathroom for 99 people. You know the CFR, the Code of Federal Regs? Yeah, a pole barn will make it. Look under 1910. You'll find the regs. You can't have 99 people in this building with one single bathroom. That's code. Look that up. The pole barn, yes. When they give you a certificate of occupancy, it will be POSHA and OSHA certified. They will not give it to you without it. Those aren't questions you should be asking.
John, what do you do for a living?
I'm an occupational safety consultant for the state for 27 years. I'm the one that called POSHA. And you're worried about hazmat. Well, Middlesex only got one hazmat specialist team. All we can do is contain it. Millstone can't do anything different than we can't do.
Understood.
You contain it till hazmat gets here.
Understood.
Are you hazmat certified?
No,
do you get hazmat every year like we do?
Nope.
Do you get CPR bloodborne every year like we do?
Nope.
Guess what, Joe? I wouldn't ride in a truck if I wasn't certified. That's a code we take out of the academy.
Mm-hmm. May I say something?
No, I'm done.
Okay.
This has been going on for 3 years. How much money have we pissed away on this circle jerk going around? We could have had the damn building half built by now. That's what's upsetting.
Okay.
If you can call my house, call it any time. I'll give you any information anybody needs.
John, thank you.
Had enough of this. Hire someone then. Yeah, what are we going to do? Pay another consultant to come in? That's all we need is another opinion. That's not factual.
John?
No, I'm done
please.
With this. I'm going to close the water plant next week.
No,
everyone start buying a bottle of water because I'm making calls.
My name is Gary Shiner, and I live at 46 Lake Drive in Roosevelt. I'd like to say the information given on the fire company was very, very informed. It was very nice. My only question is that I don't understand. Is I thought... A while back, we had a vote on a fire company, and we won by one vote, was it?
It was a tie.
Which means that it did not pass.
It was a tie, which means it didn't pass.
Right, the second vote was 268.
So how many votes do you put on a ballot until you get your way? All you're doing is voting, and then you use trickery on the last vote. You can vote for this. You can vote for this. You never said you didn't have to vote for anything. People didn't have to vote, but you made it look like they had to vote. So what is your interest in the fire company?
Are you asking me to answer?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
My interest in the fire company is I've lived in this town on and off for almost 60 years. I care about the town. I care about everybody in it. I very carefully analyzed all of the options available to us. And in my opinion, the least expensive, most efficient option was to build a facility.
How many houses burnt down in 60 years?
How many have to burn down?
I don't know. You tell me. How many have to burn down?
I believe I burned down.
If you know the answer, stand up and give it.
Actually, you have had a house burn down.
Mr. Allentuck, please. as Millstone has said before, they're not properly called a fire company. They're called an emergency. They should be called an emergency company. Okay, we have an average of between 24 and 36 calls a year in Roosevelt. And that ranges anywhere from fires, which are much more rare, to motor vehicle accidents, down wires, gas leaks, anything that the fire department is required to show up to. So that's the number of calls that we have on average. It ranges within that. I think last year it was somewhere around 24 or 30. The year before that it was 36. Okay.
And we need to spend this kind of money for this borough. We can't downsize it.
We could get rid of the fire department and enter into a contract with Millstone. That was one of the options. That was more expensive, but it was certainly an option that was available to everybody. They voted to have the four-bay rather than a two-bay for the ambulances and the Millstone.
Now, you can put something on the ballot as much as you want, because I'm going to the Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office to find out how this got back on the ballot. Okay. When it was turned down at an even vote.
The second time it...
It didn't pass. Am I talking to you?
It didn't.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm okay. Talking to this gentleman right here.
Mr. Shiner, gentlemen, please. Mr. Shiner. Okay. The first vote was a tie. The second vote was 268 to 68 in favor of building a four-bay building. Mm-hmm. Those were the votes.
Okay. Yeah, but shouldn't it have said you don't have to vote?
You never have to vote.
The third thing on there was says you don't have to choose either one, but you play trickery. That's why I want to know what your interest is in the fire company.
There is no way to answer that in a reasonable way.
I didn't think you could.
I have no interest in the fire company other than as a citizen of Roosevelt for a very long time. That is the extent of my interest in the fire company, other than they got some nice guys and some not so nice guys.
Okay. Thank you. And again, you did a wonderful job.
Thank you. I tried.
Anybody else? Yes, you can. And then, Jim.
Deb Lenart, 5 Elm Court. I was just curious how two people that seem very, very one-sided when it comes to fire department activities happen to be the two that are on the safety committee. It's kind of baffling. It wasn't that way originally, but
it was until Mr. Hamilton got on.
So is that, can that be looked at? It's right. Kind of calling the kettle black, because I recall.
The original group.
Yeah.
When everybody moves around, that's what ended up. Yeah.
And then
sorry, that wasn't appointing it.
There's a certain council members who said back when you put together that committee to look at all of the options, it was very one-sided, and there was only one particular person who was a no vote, and everybody else was a yes vote. Well, I think it's very apparent by the way these certain individuals are going about their investigations, not talking to the actual fire department, not getting the actual facts, that they happen to be the two people that are representing the safety committee.
So thank you.
I'm on the committee also, and all the what Mr. Trammell was doing is basically bringing out issues, and as I say, we had a response to the issue, so the matter is brought up for discussion. I mean, it wasn't that the committee can't commit the council to do anything, only the council itself. By a majority vote can do anything.
But Michael, did we make any of this up, or was everything in Joe's report what was told?
This was what we were told. He's reporting what we were told. Now, as I said, if Mr. Stout, told the mayor, after talking to the mayor, has different things he would tell, I think that this should be. Mm-hmm. We can get this additionally. We'll talk to him again see if he's reconsidered some of the things he told us based on information he now has.
I just find it interesting that it, obviously from the way. All of the information that is incorrect and that is not, they didn't go directly to the fire department to get the facts of the Roosevelt Fire Department.
As I said, it's part of a process. He's bringing things out, then there's a response, and then through the process of response, the facts will come out.
And then these town hall meetings, there were multiple town hall meetings that were held. The one that I, in particular, that I went to, I don't recall seeing any council members. But why is that any different, and why will that change anything? They were given the same information there. We had the same people, apparently, that have all the information and all these commissioners and fire people. Why was that not sufficient, and why did the people that are very obviously on the council, not for the fire department, why were none of them there listening to the information? So I guess it's all who puts the meeting together as to who comes.
Let me just a little bit here.
Are you asking them a question?
Yeah.
Do you want to answer?
Well, yeah, I'm asking it to you because I don't want to look at them, you know.
Okay. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't mean that personally.
Yeah.
Okay, but are you asking them to answer?
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll say one thing real quick. You keep saying that we don't, or all of you say that we don't support the fire company, fire department. That's simply not true. I know for me, it comes down strictly to finances. What is prudent, what isn't. For a town our size to have a whole new fire department, when the government is asking us to merge, to contract, to do whatever we have to do, it's simply not responsible to spend all that money for a tiny little town that rarely has a fire, and it has nothing to do with support. I've been here a really long time, and I went to a funeral this morning of a man who was one of the first firefighters here, and the fire engine, as the mayor said, was there, their lights on. We talked about how I went to I was at the funeral, how he was a firefighter, how proud he was. I've been here through more fire departments than you could ever imagine. It has nothing to do with not being supportive. How could you not be supportive of someone who runs into a burning building or a burning car to save someone? It has nothing to do with that. It all has to do with the fact that it's very difficult to get volunteers today, that we don't really have a day crew, and that it's simply much too much expensive to build something of that magnitude for a tiny little town with very few fires.
And I think, Peggy, I would believe what you were saying if I heard one positive thing come out in all of the meetings I've been attending about the fire department, which I have heard nothing positive coming from you. It's always a no when they go around to vote. And we have how many, 18 firefighters? Unfortunately, we haven't had, the support that we needed, or we would have no issues having a fire department, I'm sure, even during the day, because a lot of these guys are young and are around. So we would have that. We don't have the option.
We don't have.
You're leaving us no option. Yes.
And when you say I'm not supportive, it's strictly a for me, it's financial. It has nothing to do with
referendums and referendums. That's not financial.
Okay.
Well, it is.
Okay.
Guys, we shouldn't get into a discussion.
Can I just say a little something here?
Unless you
please.
No.
I was responding to her.
Guys, you're right. He does not have an absolute right to speak, but he has asked to speak, and please let him respond. He was asked a question.
We really went about this to try to understand what we needed as a fire department and what the alternatives were. When we entered each one of these meetings, one of the first things I said was, I'm not here to be political, I'm not here to be personal, I'm here to be professional. Can you please tell us what we need to know about the runnings of a fire department? And I think you probably also know that I am the one that wrote up the garage down the street that was rejected to be a firehouse. I don't see any problem with something like that. What I needed to know, what we needed to know, and wanted to report to this town, which is completely divided about this stuff, was what we could find out about alternative services or what it would possibly cost to have the service here. So if somebody came up with that plan to build a firehouse and to do everything aside from just have a pole building, there is much more to a firehouse than a pole barn.
Did you talk to the fire department and ask them about the trucks that we fundraised and put lots of years' worth of work into to get so we didn't cost the town any money.
I did call the fire department. I got no response from either one.
Joe, you didn't put the effort into talking to the fire department that you did to talking to everybody else, and you probably would have had the answers at your fingertips, honestly.
I called the fire department before we spoke with these other gentlemen. Okay?
Okay.
So, nope.
Yes,
so I moved on.
Well,
one person.
Yeah, no.
Well, two people.
All right, gentlemen. Mr. Ontuck, then Sam.
Yeah, this is a quickie.
To the mic, please.
I went to the web today, and I got the Monmouth County certified general tax rates. It was interesting. Our tax rate, municipal tax rate, is 78 cents. How much more would be tacked on to that if we built the firehouse for $500,000? Would we be paying over a dollar?
Okay, so if you went to Millstone, it would come up to
0.13.
Huh?
I think it's 0.13 per hundred on Millstone.
No, Monroe is 13.
Oh, Millstone is 0.11. Or
no, it's 9 point, because when we get joined in, it comes down. But okay, okay. Call it 9 cents.
Millstone
okay.
is
so
Millstone's municipal rate is 16.5 cents for municipal purposes.
It would be, but where it's fire district, so it would be about 87 cents initially to go to Millstone, and I believe it's about 277 over 130, so it's about half that to go to, so call it 5 cents.
So our tax rate would go up 5 cents. It would go up from 75 cents to 80 cents.
Yes.
So we're really talking about a hell of a lot of money, aren't we?
We're talking about $130 extra a year in your taxes.
Yeah.
If it can be built for $500,000.
Peggy? There are a number of people around here who talk about what things are going to cost, who don't have the slightest idea of what things cost and how things are done.
Well,
as far as Joe's architect, who came down here for an afternoon, walked around the building, went back, made a pre-picture, and told them what it would cost, he takes that as gospel, whereas he doesn't take the facts that there were any number of professionals who worked on an estimate for this firehouse and came up with a different number. Why trust him and don't trust them?
I drew the picture.
Nice work.
Not an architect.
I know that.
I didn't trust Joe's architect. I got my information from the fire marshal of Monmouth County.
The fire marshal is not an expert. He is somebody who aggregates information.
He's also the fire chief of Long Branch.
Has he ever
Long
designed
Branch?
A building?
We can wait. Long Branch?
Mr. Hunter, may I say something? Because we keep going through this, okay? You talk about experts. Okay, he is an expert on the laws of the County of Monmouth as they apply to fire departments
and
towns.
And he's also
towns.
The fire chief.
All right, he's a fire chief. Is he an architect? No. Is he an engineer? No. Does he have expertise in finance? No. So when you walk in here and say, I talked to this fire marshal, and he says it's going to cost too much, the answer is he doesn't know. He has no basis whatsoever.
That's also what the fire chief of Millstone and the fire chief of...
Also a builder? Here's the fire chief of Roosevelt. Let's ask him.
You've given us information.
There's the fire chief of Roosevelt. Let's ask him.
How is it that all of the people that you stand behind know, but all of the professionals that we've talked to don't know what they're talking about.
Because I talk to a lawyer about law, an engineer about engineering, an architect about architecture, and a finance person about finance. I don't go to a fire marshal and say, how much per square foot does it cost to build a brick building, a concrete building faced with brick? I don't do that. I go to the architect and ask him that.
We asked him about the laws.
We asked the entire...
We know what the laws are.
Now I do.
And we also asked about what the cost would be encompassing everything.
Right, and he is neither an architect, nor an engineer, nor an expert in finance.
I think two fire chiefs, a fire commission, three fire commissioners, and a fire marshal.
Why do we object to asking our own fire chief? I have three times said, he's sitting right here, and your response is to turn to me and ignore him.
Because I feel that it's not proper for you to condemn the people that we spoke to.
Okay. Dan, I'll ask you. Do you mind?
I don't mind.
Okay. What's the question?
I have no question. I was responding to your father talking about $1,000.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Allentuck.
Yes.
Sorry for the interruption.
No, I think that's true.
Okay. Mr. Lopez, you wanted to talk?
Not anymore.
Anybody else in the council? Mr. Jason, yes. Sorry. Chasson, apologies. Could you please come up to the... Right, okay. You can speak next. You all right there?
Sprained ankle, that's all.
Oh, sorry.
Not John. James Chasson, 21 Homestead Lane. I'd like to address the fire department and the council, and I'd like to say thank you for the tribute to Jack Uden, who was really a wonderful guy. I remember from being a kid through later years just how wonderful he was and active in the fire department. Great member of the community. Thank you. Second, if I may address the mayor and to the back of me to the fire chief, with regard to the creating an ordinance for the parking in front of the synagogue, could the council perhaps refer to the emergency services and see how much space could actually be needed in front of a public building like that to access it if there is a call for an emergency call?
Sure.
So maybe 40 feet might need to be larger. The fire truck or the ambulance needs to access that building? Just a suggestion.
Yeah, I was going off your suggestion.
I just thought about that later on. And lastly, and this is not a joke, but I was reading about, or I was listening about the possibility of having a medical marijuana dispensary. Mm-hmm. I was reading that in Colorado, where this is a blooming business, that the local communities have also created tariffs and duties on the sales of the marijuana, so that a local community also benefits, and that then revenue is brought in. So I'd like to suggest that the council take that seriously as an option to create a tariff or a duty on the sales.
I don't know if it only applies to recreational or to, but we'll find out. It's a good point.
Since we need revenue, I thought maybe that's a possibility.
New Jersey would then have to pass a law similar to the enabling law Colorado has. Colorado has a statute that allows that. Presumably, New Jersey doesn't. So.
Well, let's find out.
I don't know. To do it. I don't know, and I'm not a subscription user.
Into.
So.
Worth looking into. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's worth puffing on. Keith, do you want to speak?
Dan Archer, 42 North Rochdale. Couple things that were said in the report. I just wanted to clarify. John hit most of what I had in my head. Certification-wise, so that everybody's clear, because nobody has actually asked me anything directly, hey, can we sit down and discuss what's done and what's not done? The pumps get tested on the trucks every year. The ladders get tested. The hoses get tested. They have to pass or they get pulled out of service. The air packs get tested every year for a float test to make sure they're safe and usable. There's a life expectancy on the bottles. As long as they're within their hydrostatically tested time frame, we can continue to use them. After that, they have to be retested or discarded and replaced. Year is good for about 10 years. That also is visually inspected by the department as we go in and out of fires. It has telltale signs on it. It is black. If it turns red, that means it got too hot. It gets pulled out of service immediately. If it's got tears or holes in it, it gets pulled out of service. It's not supposed to be used to go into a building. We juggle that because it's expensive. $2,400 or so just for coat and pants, mm-hmm. not including boots, helmet, and gloves and the rest of the stuff. I shop that around for the best prices as well. The mutual aid that you referred to that we don't service, okay? When in 2015 when I was chief, Allentown had us on one of their boxes. Hightstown wanted me to go on their box. East Windsor of Twin Rivers wanted us on. Millstone was in discussion with me about getting on cover. And
would you explain what on the box means?
I'm sorry. A box is if they get a call in that area and they call for mutual aid, they're going to call into the county and they're going to say, strike my first box or whatever. And whatever they have listed on that box, they have designated in the marks that the chiefs have to fill out every year, which is the mutual aid response plan. Each company fills that out. Each chief does it. Submits it to the county, so when I say strike my first box, I know I got Hightstown's ladder coming, East Windsor or Millstone's pumpers coming, tankers coming from someone. We try to split out the stuff as best as possible. these guys approached me at suburban chiefs meetings and stuff like that and said, you're coming along, you know, can we put you on? We'd like you to help cover this side of Millstone because you're closer than we are. Hightstown wanted us to help out there. I never felt comfortable. Allentown put me on without actually me okaying it, but until we had a facility to work out of that we could actually get out of fast enough to make a valid response. When we got to pull in and use a padlock to unlock doors and then pull some cobbed open wood doors open to pull a truck out to get in to just get dressed, that's time. Fire doubles its size every 30 seconds. That's time. We need to be able to be on the road in under 5 minutes. With what we were working out of, I knew that wasn't possible. I wasn't going to commit us to outside companies that are going to rely on us to move until we had something that I could justifiably, you know, say, okay, it's on us, not our surroundings. There's more I had to, but I forgot. So I guess that covers the most of it.
Thank you.
Can I mention something about Allentown?
Sure.
Allentown and Upper Freehold had a shared service agreement.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't work out.
No.
And it did not work out. So there is no longer a shared service agreement. And Allentown is going through its changes now. Because they're not together.
Anybody else from the public have any questions or comments? Okay. All right. I don't have that closed session.
We do need a closed session.
Let's be very quick. Mary Tellis, 21 Lake Drive, on a completely different topic.
Thank you.
On the deli, I see cars coming and going, and there's paper on the windows. I just wondered, what do you have details on what type of business is moving in there?
Well, just from the types of equipment that we saw going in, it's restaurant equipment, but I don't know anything. Do you know anything more?
We just heard it's going to open. Okay, so
could be a bar, but I doubt it.
Very general, it's going to open. The council wouldn't have needed to be informed or anything about what type of business is going in there. No.
There have been discussions. Yeah, they have to get permits. We certainly are in discussion with Department of Health, which has to issue permits. Mm-hmm. We're in discussion with our zoning officers, so we know they're planning on doing something that requires a Department of Health food service. Approval, but that's about it.
Do they still have the liquor license that they purchased previously?
At the moment, yes.
Oh. Okay, that's all I was wondering.
We're working on that.
Jeff?
Do I have a motion?
Before Dan leaves, could I ask a couple of questions that are from Joe's report? Because I am thinking that you might want to alter your report to take into account what the new information is. And there were a couple things that you didn't address. So you have to stand up there, sorry.
And you have to lean down because otherwise Kelly can never be able to hear you.
So we definitely have completed personnel applications because the council sees those.
Correct.
So we know that that's done.
But excuse me, Jill, we were told they were not complete enough and that they have to include the DMV abstract, the physical, and the
background
check.
I'm getting to that. I'm doing one line at a time.
Sure,
the second one is the valid New Jersey State driver's license and DMV abstracts. I believe we're working on that. Full criminal history and background checks of all personnel. Do we need that?
I didn't know that either one of those were required by law.
Required,
I'm not sure.
Other fire departments have those in place.
We'll check on
yes,
that.
We're just comparing fire department.
They told us.
Could be a recommendation, not a requirement.
The other fire departments had the personnel pay for their own background checks, and then they were reimbursed by the fire department or the council beyond that.
I have written down must do background checks, must have abstract from DMV.
But we can check on that. The next one has to do with equipment inventories and yearly inspection reports and certs, and you have addressed that. You addressed the apparatus inventories. Personal safety gear was mentioned on the front and then on the next page. Is there a gap, or do all personnel have turnout gear that are part of the fire department now?
We are a little short on what we have as far as getting everybody in gear that's going to work.
Okay.
April's report from 2016 showed you're pretty shallow with the personnel.
We are. I know that I bought 2, 3, 5, 7, I think, sets of new gear over my couple of years back then. 7 or 8.
Then there's some. There's a little bit in here also.
That was previous. All those bills are actually last year's
2016. Late 2016. Yeah.
Yeah, the existing gear, anything that we're wearing black is new gear. Uh-huh. Anything that is the beige or tan color, that's borderline. That's almost met its life shelf of 10 years. Whether it's new, you haven't used it or not, it still has to be replaced. It has a date on it. Uh-huh. If OSHA or POSHA comes in and says, let me see your gear, and you got a hole in your boot or your glove has a torn, you fail. Uh-huh. You know, everything has to be to the T, dot the I. You have to be in full acceptable turnout gear. So, like Danny said, some of that tan stuff is borderline.
And what
so
I was,
a guy like that, we're not going to send in, of course.
What I was trying
to help out in other ways until we can fundraise or the budget allows us to buy. Like Dan said, it's about $3,000 to dress someone up.
And because of the marginal budget that we do have, I was trying to buy 2 to 3 sets a year so that as time goes down the road, they're going to start going out of date every year, so we can continue to do maybe 2 or 3 sets down the road, and we're not going to get whacked with a whole big chunk.
It's an asset management plan. It's a great idea. So we don't have to pay to bring an older truck up to standards because our trucks are up to standards.
As long
they're
as they
tested.
Pass those tests.
As long as they pass
correct.
Those tests. Do you have the communication equipment that you need?
Yeah. We bought 5 portables. We got 8 portables right now. There's communications in all the trucks. It'd be nice to have a little bit more, but that's quite sufficient
right.
from where we came
bare
from.
Bones.
We had
5. 3
originally.
Would it be nice and have a wish list and say, I want 6 more radios? Absolutely. Can we get by? Yes, we do.
Just as last year, I was sitting in the audience as a council meetings were going on here, and you were requesting money for the county was changing the electronics communications gear or something like that, and you guys needed to be on their channel. Was all of that taken care of?
Yeah, that was the way it was described to me for communications. So take a 2-lane road like 571,
yep.
and they went from that band to narrow band, so they actually split it into a 4-lane road so that you could run more channels
from
in the
full
same
duplex to a turnpike, basically, or something
right,
like
you
that.
Can run
yeah.
more channels
yeah.
down there because yeah. they needed
okay.
more channels.
Okay, so I know other fire companies are doing bonds to get up to there. So
that wasn't really that terribly expensive. That was just a programming issue. That wasn't changing over any. I was changing over 1 radio and a head unit and a truck, and the rest of them were just programming.
Okay, and then it's all local between you guys off of the.
And all that okay. stuff goes through my budget anyway.
Yeah, so local and local and the OEM. So
and
we have an OEM. We have one and two in the office, the OEM crew, and then they have their own.
And then we run on all
yeah,
the fire.
We have 12 different channels. So not only are we doing county, you can listen to Millstone, Allentown. We could actually on scene go to different channels and talk to each other ourselves.
Uh-huh. Well,
internal, this yeah. we're not broadcasting. What everyone hears that we're directing a water main break. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I'm directing traffic or whatever the scene is, something medical.
Yeah, because everything's on a repeater.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Right. with the portables, even though they're only 5 watts, as soon as they catch a repeater, you can hear us in Red Bank.
Well, you need all those clear channels also for incident management and whatnot, because if you get there first and you got another
well, what
guy
happens
coming
is we
in.
Run on the south response because we're the southern Monmouth side, so they mm-hmm. don't designate what we're supposed to run on and call in on. We mm-hmm. call in on that, and then we communicate back and forth with county. If it's getting too chattery and too busy because it's a big scene, they'll direct us to another channel, which mm-hmm. we have all in the radio.
So we're getting a little far afield
we
here.
We are
yeah.
far afield.
You
there's
wanted a
one
couple
more
questions.
Thing, yearly physicals for all personnel.
We've always gotten physicals for the guys when they joined and gotten through. I don't know if we ever did them yearly, though.
Yeah, we renewed.
We have a contract now
we
with
a contract
medical
with
facility for all of you to go and
renewal.
Get physicals.
Sure.
So
well, then we'll get them yearly.
That, and so I just want to make sure, Joe, that you might want to redo this and include the information that you've learned tonight so that it's.
Well, the information that is here is the information that we would request. You know, not saying that they have it, they don't have it, anything else. These are the
It's not subjective. All his report is reflecting what was told to us. Do you want me to write a report on tonight's meeting that says what is wrong about this so that we can have something accurate? Because I just feel that this is misleading to the public, and we should try to put out something which has all of this information. Mm-hmm. Here's what Joe found. Then, here's what the fire department has.
Then can we have a town meeting and all of this information we could get from here and say, oh, these guys are all set up over here and everything, and then have, if you're discrediting Kevin or anybody else that we've spoken with.
We're saying we have all the stuff that you're...
Okay, well then...
Is there a place where we can see all the certifications?
And can we have somebody that knows more than we do about looking at these certifications to say, yeah, this is all good, or this is maybe not all good?
Perhaps what you'd like to do is have the GIF come in and do that.
I'll solve this. Five Elm Court, when anybody wants to come by, I have my binder.
That's yours. But all of this should be in one location, so, you know.
So maybe it can be posted on the bulletin board?
Well, that, the idea, in all reality, was...
No, it doesn't go on a bulletin board. Well, how about, I mean... Okay,
it should be in a file and under lock and key in the other
room.
I would have a small office where I would keep all the certifications. Unfortunately, I haven't had that.
Guys, everybody's talking at once. No, the public is not entitled to look at every certification.
Exactly.
Let's be real clear about that. Mm-hmm. There's personal information in those files.
Well, I was talking about the trucks and those kind of gear, not the employees.
All right, so we have two more people who wanted to speak at this point.
Why would we have to show our certifications to anybody but Jim?
You don't, technically.
Or the chief, or anybody that actually, for lack of a better term...
Because there's a disagreement about...
If Jeff sends a letter that says we've examined all of them and they're good,
So the safety committee doesn't get to see any certifications?
Nobody ever asked.
I'd rather her not go through my certifications. If Jeff says I don't have my certifications, they'll let you know. I don't need to show either of you my
According to the fire marshal, we are entitled to see them.
Nope. I don't. Just like that, that conversation took place. Okay, if we want to get out sometime tonight, we have two people who want to talk. Joe and Michelle, are we okay?
I'm just, yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Dan, I got to talk to Dan, thank you.
Ms. Bronco?
Very briefly. Melissa Bronco, 50 Homestead Lane, and I repeat myself that I'm speaking to the people on the council who do not seem to be in favor of having a Roosevelt-based fire squad. Make no mistake, and I'm surprised you guys haven't said anything. Fire departments don't just put out fires. They keep us all safe. Was everybody here during Sandy and Irene? Downed wires, flooded basements. I'm an EMT, and I'm a nurse. When I trained as an EMT, we were taught extrication, how to get a dying person out of a vehicle. They don't do that anymore. The people who get injured people out of vehicles are them. Mm-hmm. I can't help anybody with my ambulance or my nursing capabilities if I can't get to them. They're stuck in a mangled vehicle. So if you're waiting 7 miles away to bring hopefully a responding other town who may in all good faith want to respond, they may be out on other calls, or God forbid something like Sandy, and you can't get in. We live in a vacuum here. We live 15, maybe I've made it to Central State in 15, 16 minutes, really breaking the speed limit because somebody was dying. But you can't get out if you can't get in. So during Sandy, as you all know, those of you who were here, they kept us safe. It's not just putting out an occasional fire. That's an insult to all of them. They are our strength. And there's I perceive that there's so much disrespect directed towards them. You just blow them off like they're a bunch of kids who are doing nothing. And disrespect towards the mayor... that he's getting something personal. What's he getting out of having our fire squad. Is someone accusing Jeff Ellentuck of taking graft? I don't think so, and I take exception to that. He's a relative of mine. The least expensive, most safe way some of us feel in the town and on the council is to fund our own fire department. Please think of the general safety, okay? They don't just put out the occasional fire. Far from it.
Thank you. Anybody else, or do I have a motion?
I just have one thing to add, Jeff.
Name and address, please, John.
John Lennart, 5 Elm Court. I'm going to go back to the CFR, the Code of Federal Regulations. Okay, when I call POSHA or OSHA, it's the same thing. State follows OSHA, so it's just public employee. It's the same thing. Whichever stricter the state goes by. The state didn't fine the firehouse, meaning us, the people. We weren't behind on our certs. We weren't cited. We weren't in violation or the equipment that we do use. It was our safety and health and the environment which you provided us that got cited. So just keep that in mind. Wasn't us. Wasn't them. It's you guys. All of you were in violation for not making us safe. So when I do sue you, you know why.
That'll be after I close the water plant.
Just okay.
Keep that in mind. We weren't cited. You guys were. Down with.
Hi, Kurt Muser, Pine Drive. I have 4 concerns. I'm going to be quick. It'll be less than a minute. All right, 1, 7 Nurco Road is draining their sump pump or whatever out onto Nurco Road, and the road can be completely clear of ice until you get right in front of their house, and it turns into a skating rink. And I leave for work at like 5 in the morning, and it's kind of dangerous. 2, the guardrails on our bridges here, I know it's a Mercer or a Monmouth County thing, but the guardrails that are there will cut your car in half. They're like 1960s guardrails where the end of it is curved. The newer ones have to be rounded to where they'll collapse. Alright, 3, there's a person on my street, I live on Pine Drive, whose son plays the drums. All that is missing is somebody yelling Babaloo. he doesn't play it at midnight, but it's weird hours, and it's annoying if you want to go outside and enjoy yourself. Like I said, all that's missing is somebody yelling Babaloo.
Anybody in the audience want to yell Babaloo for the gentleman? But you gave your address as Pine Drive.
Yes.
Which makes it kind of difficult for us to narrow it down.
Well, we're kind of, your house and my house are kind of equidistant to this person. It's the Oskalop's house.
Okay.
So I don't know if you hear it on your end or unless the wind takes it the opposite direction. Yeah. But yeah, that, I guess there was only the 3 things. The guardrails, the first 2 bridges coming into Roosevelt are going to cut a car in half if somebody hits them. That and the water on Nurco Road.
We do have a noise ordinance, but if you're saying it's happening during the day...
No, it's not during the day. It's like up till 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, you'll hear it sometimes. I mean, not saying the kid is bad playing, but it's just annoying as hell when you want to sit outside, you know.
We can take a look at it. I don't remember what the cutoff is.
Okay.
And just out of curiosity, Nurco Road, it's draining into the middle of the road?
It's draining, like, if you're on Nurco heading towards... away from Roosevelt. Number 7, it's kind of, they have like a brick thing built around where it drains, and it's draining right out into Nurco Road, and that undermines the road, 1, and 2, you can see where the road is stained from it being there forever.
Yeah, I thought we had stormwater out there, but we'll take a look. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, but I believe it's either their sump pump or their washer or something, but it's pretty much a constant. Like I said, I leave for work at 5 in the morning, and it can get pretty hairy, even if the rest of the road is perfectly clear.
Okay.
guess that's it.
We'll have somebody, a name, take a look at it.
There's a culvert about 100 yards in, and that I think it used to be icy there also, but it's no longer because of the culvert. So
yeah, we just did a bunch of stormwater work out there. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
All right, so I have a motion to adjourn to the closed session.
Motion to adjourn to the closed session.
Second.
Okay. Now you should read the resolution.
Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act permits the public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed which are exempted from the requirements of the Act. Whereas the said Act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portion thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt the resolution at a public meeting providing for holding of a private meeting. Whereas the Borough Council has also voted to determine that a meeting should be held from which the public shall be excluded in order to discuss the subject which is accepted under the Act. Now, therefore, it be resolved by the Borough Council carries. The next portion of this meeting will be a private session. General nature of the matters to be discussed relates to pending and anticipated litigation, that being a matter before the administrative law.
So now can we
move to adjourn?
Have Rich deny their request?
Sure.
Okay, I move to
say no.
Direct Rich to deny their request.
Just say no.
That's easy.
Okay. All, any discussion at the table? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Or do you want to do this by roll call?
You can do eyes and the
yeah, eyes and okay. Any nays?
I was hoping we'd be here.
Thank you.
To say
okay, move to it.